Newsnation.com. Tomorrow's news today. Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Gentlemen, it is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones, and I am very thankful and blessed to be here today. We have a massive transmission lined up for you! And man, I'm pissed off by all the stuff that's going on in the world here today. Now, Tucker Carlson is joining us in the third hour. He is right in the middle of the zeitgeist. He's the most important journalist in the world, the most popular journalist in the world, and he's in a lot of danger, I can tell you right now. The system absolutely hates his guts. He's going to break major news here and cover massive news stories, so be sure and join us. And remember, you're the Paul Revere's. You're the way we break through the censors and the blacklist and the bots. Take the live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X and share those video feeds like their future depends on it, because it does. Take the feed at rumble.com/the Alex Jones Show live right there. Share it on your whole email list, your text message list. Post it everywhere. It's an information war. Let's act like it. Sheer madness. The UK is testing long-range, high-powered mega missile for Ukraine to bomb Moscow. We're talking about 5,000-pound bombs. I mean, it'll just level whole blocks to get the Russians to go absolutely ape and put us into full war. That's why I'm pissed off. Meanwhile, I've got clips of Ben-Gavir, the psychotic that runs the Israeli intelligence services, saying, all of Lebanon is our playground. We're taking it all. We're never going to leave. Last week he said, quote, you kill one Israeli soldier, we kill 10,000 and 10,000 mothers cry. We're going to burn all of Lebanon. Just these incredibly provocative statements everywhere to stir everybody up. Meanwhile, Netanyahu met with a whole bunch of former admirals and generals, I mean like 100 of them, and said, look, I control your military-industrial complex yesterday, and is openly continuing through the National Defense Authorization Act to merge with our military and intelligence. Absolutely bonkers. We're going to be getting into all of that. And so much more today. Meanwhile, the COVID cover-up collapsed a long time ago, but more just continues to come out. That they knew it didn't work. They knew it erased your immune system. They knew it gave you cancer. They knew it caused strokes and myocarditis and heart attacks and blood clots and everything else. Well, now FDA altered autopsy results of children who died after COVID injection. Unbelievable information, but it's not unbelievable. It's absolutely disgusting. What's going on? We've got more mass shootings of leftists and invaders in Canada and in the United States. You've also got people lying about Elon Musk saying that when he exposed USAID, it's going to kill tens of millions of children, when not even 1% of USAID gave food to anybody. It was a CIA front for total control. That's all coming up. Also, federal judge blocks Trump from getting voter ID in. It's all coming up today. Start your engines. Share those live feeds now. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations. And keep us on the air by getting incredible supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the very best water filtration systems, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be back. Stay with us.
It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
When I grow up, I want to bring down the New World Order.
Now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Well, Tucker Carlson is hitting on all cylinders, and he doesn't get celebrated as much as he should by people that want to have Western civilization continue on and want the planet not to be destroyed in nuclear war. He's extremely informed. He has absolutely grown so much from his neocon mind control that he woke up from 15 years ago. And he is now one of the most influential people in the world if you look at the numbers around the planet. You could argue that he's bigger than Joe Rogan. And it's not about who's big and who's not. Rogan does about half entertainment and sports and a lot of serious stuff and does a lot of great work. But Tucker, it's all hardcore. It's all revolutionary against tyranny. It's all extremely dangerous. And around the world, he is extremely popular. He's in the top four or five talk show hosts in every country in the world. What he covers is translated into Chinese, into Spanish, into Russian, into German, into French. And he is a absolute global treasure, not just a national treasure. And people need to celebrate leaders that tell the truth and risk their lives. Believe me, I've been in the top tier of talk show hosts for about 15 years. I've been in Times number one in English speaking and number one around the world in 2016, 17, 18. And you saw what they did to me. Thousands of articles a day some days, hundreds every day. Hundreds of local, national, international newscasts lying about me. Government, CIA-funded, DOJ-run lawsuits, total attacks. And Tucker doesn't make it about himself, but I happen to know behind the scenes there's a lot of stuff he goes through. And so we just need to understand this is a war. We need to support our warriors for truth. He joins us at 1 p.m. Central today. Be sure and join us. Let everybody know that at Real Alex Jones on X and at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, you can find it there and on over 400 radio stations across the country and many cable and TV stations also pick up the broadcast as well. So again, thank you so much. The news site that has all the free audio and video feeds of the live show, alexjoneslive.com, is key to share. So no matter if somebody's not on Rumble, they're not on X, the only places we're not banned on the wider internet other than our own site, you can just say, here's the forbidden show. Alex Jones is dropping major truth bombs. Tucker's going to break major news at 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, noon Mountain, 11 a.m. Pacific. Tune in. You're the Paul Revere's. You are the brains, the guts, the bones, the muscles, the will, the soul of this operation. Take the feed now at Real Alex Jones on X and at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live and share it and the news site, alexjoneslive.com. All right. As Victor Boot predicted months ago, Ukraine was going to launch an offensive against Crimea to try to grab a few areas to make it look like they're having victory, when in reality, all over the northeast and the north central areas, the Russians have been taking major towns and cities, and major towns and cities are falling every week. And Russia has been intensifying its bombardments after Ukraine continues to intensify its bombardments. We have the UK announcing a plan to give high-tech, very large missiles that carry huge payloads to the Ukrainians to start obliterating Russian cities like Moscow. It's already getting up to 1,000 drones a week attempting to hit it, hundreds making it into the outskirts, dozens making it into the city center, blowing up apartment buildings, oil refineries, you name it. And Russia continues to say, okay, NATO is making these weapons. We're getting ready to start hitting NATO targets. We're warning you, don't do this. You're crossing a red line. And NATO hopes Russia does that and wants to go to full war, prepare a national draft. It's psychotic. And so while we're all here seeing the economy fall apart, seeing the crime, having problems, this is still an island of tranquility compared to where we're about to go and where much of the world is right now. I'm going to get to that. Israel says they are going to sabotage the peace process. Now Ben-Gvir, who really runs Israel, their national security advisor, to Netanyahu, is saying that they're going to take all of Lebanon, burn all of Lebanon, kill everyone, that it's, quote, their playground. Israeli Minister Ben-Gvir rejects ceasefire, says IDF should attack Beirut, target all of Lebanon, and Netanyahu ought to break with Trump. They're already doing that. That's great. Run your mouth more about Trump. He's already coming out saying, you'd be in jail without me, Netanyahu. Everybody hates Israel because of you. I've lost a lot of respect for you. Good. Please attack him more so that he blocks your attempt to take over our military and intelligence in the NDAA and the defense bill. And so that we can get the sovereignty back in our country, because Israel is run by psychotics. They have bitten off more than they can chew, and we're beginning to win the info war in their eighth front, in their eight front war. So we've got all of that. We also have the Democrats, who we really need to be focused on, engaged in all the same election fraud preparation they have before. They're winning almost all the special elections. A lot of that's just Trump's numbers and Republicans' numbers are down. But we also see a lot of the classic fraud involved. And we have a foreign-born Biden judge, Sparkle Sukanana, I'm not joking, that's her name, blocking President Trump, who is trying to get voter ID in place. So we're going to be looking at that as well. The craziness in the stock market with tech stocks way down, bringing the market way down, and then it shot back up with obviously the president's open market team, plunge protection team, pumping it back up. We also have Pride Month with more pedophilic brainwashing of the children here and around the world. That and so much more. We have the Muslims getting angry and trying to pass laws to ban dogs. And they have white British ministers agreeing that dogs are evil and that Muslims shouldn't have to see them. Also, Muslims in the United Kingdom are calling on a ban of eating in public during Ramadan period. I'm trying to put you under Sharia law and banning of the sale of pork. That's all coming up. U.S. stablecoin rules could accelerate CBDC-like control grid. FDA altered autopsy results of children who died after COVID injection. Oh, and I forgot to, I got so much on this. Remember about a week ago, they arrested somebody dumping algae into the reflecting pool, the Lincoln reflecting pool, because they hate the fact that Trump's gotten crime way down in 90%+ violent crime and other things in D.C., and it's an example of how blue cities perpetrate and allow crime on purpose, and they also have been pulling up the sealant on it. And people said, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Now they've arrested dozens of people dumping algae and trying to destroy the reflecting pool, and they just raided an Antifa house yesterday that was full of industrial-scale super algae being grown that they're dumping in it. And again, it goes to their mindset, how they want ugliness, they want to degrade you, they want to depress you, they want to aesthetically break your will. That's what this is all about. So we've got that coming up as well today. But just to illustrate the two-tiered policing system in the United States, if you're in any of the 800-plus Soros DA judge-controlled cities or towns, and it's exactly the same in Australia, New Zealand, all of Western Europe, the UK, Scotland, Ireland, England, Canada, It's the same programs, the same systems. You report in Germany when an illegal alien stabs your wife to death, you go to jail. Your daughter gets raped. You complain, you go to jail. You'll get a longer prison sentence, 3-4 years, than the rapist does. A lot of times they're just let loose, as you've seen. In Germany, when you're getting raped, they tell women to vomit and piss on the men. I showed you that yesterday. This is the insanity of these people. But there have been a bunch of cases where you've got like 11-year-old girls out doing nothing, and the police beat them with billy clubs because they're white. That was a few days ago. Now it's come out in London that you've got a street preacher. We now know the details of it because they've released the full video. He's out there just preaching the gospel. The Muslims don't like it. They begin to slap him and beat him. And then the African invader, migrant, punches him full power in the temple, splits his head open, beats him more viciously. The police come and grab the white preacher, who's indigenous to the UK, drag him over and slash fat security guards, jump on him, slamming his head in the ground, and took him to jail. So it's beyond two-tier policing. They're there to protect, just like the poor man that got stabbed by the Sikh 5 times for no reason, and then they handcuff him while he bleeds to death because he said he was a racist. And then now they have the footage that the Sikh actually shot where he didn't even say anything to him racist. They made fun of him and made fun that he was white and said, you're dying, ha, ha, ha. And the Sikh's mother came and got the knife to go hide it. He's now in prison. But that is the reality, like the 500,000 girls that got raped by the Pakistani grooming gangs and they got protected by Keir Starmer, you know, going back decades when he was the head magistrate and more. But this new video is so illustrative of this as these African invaders all stand around him laughing while he's beat up by these security goons and the police come and take him away. And now, again, as of last night, the full footage came out, somebody else shot. He's just preaching the gospel, and the Muslims don't like it, and they tell the police, yeah, he's preaching. And they're like, oh, well, then he deserves it with his head split open. So that's what this is about, bringing in the foreign muscle to dominate and terrorize and control. Here's my report. I filed on it last night at Real Alex Jones on X. Yesterday in London, a young white man is openly being taunted in the street by a large group of African migrants slash invaders, you know, the same guys that get housed in 4-star hotels for free, 3 meals a day, full game rooms, pool, video games, turn down service on their beds. And in the full video we're about to play, they're taunting him, they're yelling at him. Hey, they're the lions, he's the gazelle. And this African runs in and just smashes him in the head, splits open his temple. He tries to fight back, and the police come over and grab him, drag him away, and look up at the Africans while they taunt and say that the white man deserved it with satisfaction and pleasure. And it's the same case over and over again. You get stabbed 5 times by a Sikh for no reason. The cops sit there with you handcuffed. Wait till you die.
By the moment, you are under arrest. That's for assault. So you do not have to say anything. May harm a defense. If you do not mention your main questions, someone will switch you later in line of court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence, all right?
What the whole world has now seen in Henry's video is what we all know anyway. It's a different treatment for white people compared to non-whites. And we've seen this spread through every single institution in our country.
You see the two-tier justice every day in the UK. It's in Scotland, it's in England, it's in Wales, it's in Ireland. Because it's replacement migration, an official UN plan from 2000 to flood the West with illegal aliens. They know the public's going to get upset, so they've got to dominate you and they've got to control you. So I'm about to play the video, unedited from front to back, and just watch this. He's clearly being taunted. He clearly, how dare him, speaks back to these gods when he's a white supremacist devil who deserves to die. And he gets beaten really, really bad, and then in come the police, and reportedly he was arrested. Now, the man that didn't speak English, they won't say he's any illegal, last Friday at the zoo outside London, grabbed a 3-year-old white boy and threw him into the crocodiles and attacked him. The kid is still a little baby in critical condition. They released him the next day saying he was too low IQ. But they have sent police to the family of the three-year-old to make sure they don't speak up and criticize this. It's a special unit they have to suppress the people to make sure they submit. But there's a big ray of hope. Keir Starmer, who's been overseeing this more intensely than the last seven prime ministers they've had in a decade, you know, that's what's been happening. He had to resign, but they replaced him with another top pedo protector. Remember the 500,000 girls as young as 5, average age about 11, enslaved by the Pakistani Muslims and sold out in sex slavery, many of them killed?
And when I leave the biggest job in the country, I shall spend more time on the most important job, being the best husband I can to my fantastic wife, Vic, who has been a rock by my side through good times and bad.
If you speak out against them, even if you're the father of a girl, try to save your 10-year-old girl, you go to prison. They even run ads with little girls in the Muslim and African nations saying, come to England, we're waiting for you.
Hello and welcome to Wales. We understand being a refugee isn't easy. They go through so much. Fleeing your country is difficult, but Wales wants to help you feel welcome.
This is beyond sick. And it's the same plan to bring in third world populations, brainwash them against any white population in the West to destabilize our nations. So here's the full video. And again, just yesterday, young girls, 11, 12, they're out in the twilight and the police don't like them. So they beat up little girls and they're the heroes. They admit that they have two-tier policing, that if someone says you're racist, you deserve basically to die. Just like the poor man that got stabbed to death by the Sikh. He just said, he's racist. They said, thank you. He said, I'm stabbed. Don't think so, mate. That's how these people operate. They have to get you to accept horrible tyranny because they've got even more tyranny planned for you. So here is two-tiered policing, crystal clear for you, where the victim is body slammed, head put in the concrete. Three fat, obese officers looking up with pleasure as the Africans laugh and taunt in pleasure, knowing the state works for them.
He deserves it.
No, he deserves it, though.
He deserves the big time. He deserves the big time.
He hit me first.
He promised me, man.
He hit me first. What the fuck? He saw it. He hit me first.
Yeah, he hit you as well.
He hit you, kid.
You were sitting there, kid. You were sitting there, kid.
He hit me.
Come back, kid.
Come back,
kid. Come back, kid. Don't enjoy it. Don't enjoy it.
This is replacement migration. Now watch the Africans like hyenas laughing at him with pleasure. Just a preacher. Bleeding, head split open, viciously attacked with fat security guards. And then now the new footage has been released, they can take him to jail. And there are the Africans with pleasure, all on welfare, no jobs, laughing. Tucker Carlson joins yours truly today at 1 p.m. Central. That's in about an hour and 35 minutes from now. Be sure and join us, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, alexjoneslive.com, and on X at Real Alex Jones. I've got some amazing questions. I know he's got some big news he's going to break. So much more. It's all coming up today. Victor Boot joins us every Tuesday or most Tuesdays. And boy, do we have big updates on the Ukraine war and how that's escalating out of control and so much more. Now, let me tell you about this. We're going to go to break and come back with all of the news. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't filter your water, whether you got tap water, whether you got well water, you're insane. Almost all of the water table and the particularly processed water systems in cities is a toxic brew of hundreds, in some cases thousands, of forever chemicals and atrazine and everything else. We have a water filtration system that is lower priced than most of the competitors and that is higher quality filters, the highest rated, cutting out everything, the non-detectable levels, and the highest grade of stainless steel. It is truly gorgeous. The issue is 1,000 came in. It sold out in 3 days. Took them a couple years to finally get this developed at the top manufacturers and get it. It's top rated. We have all the tests on the site, theelectionstore.com. 2,000 come in early next week. And then more don't come in for a month. So it's on pre-sale, so you get it. Order it now. But when those sell out, it'll probably sell out before they even come in next week. We're not going to have it on pre-sale anymore until we get a whole bunch more in about a month or so. We've got 5,000 filters coming in. But 2,000 come in next week. So if you want to be at the head of the line and get these and support the broadcast, then you need to put your order in right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Does 3 gallons an hour, two separate powerful carbon filters with a whole nother set of filters under that that gets out the fluoride. Nobody has any system like this for less than $400. Ours is $300 and for VIPs, $220-something. This is an insane deal with almost no markup when it comes to VIPs, low markup for everybody else. This is priced to dominate the market for people that know gravity-fed filters, which they do. And I knew. They're like, really, you think gravity-fed filters? Everybody sells those. They go, everybody doesn't sell the best. I said, get the best stainless steel. Get the best filters. Here's the different companies. Here's the stats. Here's the facts. Took them almost 2 years to do it. They did it. It's a hit. And I'm excited about this because everybody needs to filter their water. It's a win-win. You're going to love the system. And this is something that I know we're going to sell hundreds of thousands of these filters over the next few years, and it's going to finance and fund more talk show hosts, the bigger studios that are already being built, reporters. We're going to be bigger than we ever were at InfoWars with things like the water filters, because we've sold filters that were almost as good as this for more with our sponsors over the years. And, you know, we would sell $20 million a year of these. Now, we're only making about 35, 40% on them. So, you know, that's not $20, $30 million profit, but we're talking $6, $7, $8 million a year with filters that were still great, but not as good as this. I'm betting we make $20 million off this year, even competitively priced, and it's going to finance the entire thing. I'm going to war with the globalist. I know a hit when I see it. This is a hit. This is as, the best as it gets. In fact, nobody's even got something this good when it comes to stainless steel. There are a few companies that have filters that are as good. This is amazing. This is so exciting. Get yours now. And we've got the kickoff of the Super Summer Sale. For the next 2 weeks, every 3 days, there's a different sale for buy one, get one free. Right now, it's our number one best-selling product, Ultramethylene Blue. Buy one, get one free. Get 50% off as well on the best iodine in the world, T3 iodine, and so much more. And it's back in stock. The ultimate pre-workout, super vitamin mineral energy boost, ultimate power is rocket fuel. It's now back in stock, thealexjonesstore.com.
Tell your friends, and you can get Alex to the Alex Jones app as well, alexjonesapp.com. You know, especially you young people, the Zoomers listening to me, go help your grandparents. I literally, when I was in Colorado, was like installing the app on my grandmother's phone, doing the shortcut to the Rumble channel so she could always find the live stream. Technology's moving. We're moving with it, and we got to make sure to pull everybody along with us. And, of course, you can support us by going to the alexjonesstore.com. We have incredible products there. I'm kind of a sucker for all of the products that we have at thealexjonesstore.com because they're all awesome. And it's like, it's not a thing I'm getting paid to do, right? Like I could always carry around my old wallet, but I got the new wallet because it's so awesome and I've been so happy with it the entire time. Now we have these premium nylon tactical belts available at thealexjonesstore.com. They're only $39.99 and they are of equivalent design, quality, standards, aesthetics, Just amazing stuff. You will never be disappointed with the quality of items at thealexjonesstore.com. Whether it's the supplements or the gear like this, it's always top-notch, just like we try to keep our coverage always top-notch. Might be an ironic thing to say for a belt that has no notches. It is a heavy-duty nylon webbing with smooth automatic ratchet buckle, so there's no holes, no notches, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You just adjust it to exactly where you want it, and it stays there. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit, whether you're out working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. We've got three unique designs, the Cross Edition, the 1776 Edition, and the Alex Jones Signature Edition. You can get each one of these for under $40, but for a limited time, you can get all three designs bundled together for only $99. If you want my advice, they make fantastic gifts, so if you want one, go ahead and get all three, and then give your least favorite two out as gifts. Or heck, buy six and give three of them out as gifts. And of course, the America 250 Birthday Limited Edition 4th of July apparel sale is on. And folks, 4th of July is coming up quick. You're not going to want to be out there wearing like a purple shirt, right? You're going to want to be decked out head to toe in the most patriotic gear you can find. And the best place to get it, hands down, is thealexjonesstore.com. This collection right now is 30% off. So again, you're running out of time to get this before July 4th, so it's delivered and you can wear it with pride on Independence Day, coming up very, very quickly. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the America 250 Limited Edition 4th of July Apparel Collection. It's 30% off right now. We also have gravity-fed water filter systems back in stock, because we are, at the end of the day, but humble water filter salesmen here trying to both provide, because it's always the way we've been. You've got to not just combat this stuff at the political level. You've got to protect yourself in the meantime. In other words, they put chemicals in the water. We want to be activists. We want to be protesters. We want to be running for office to get that changed, to get the stuff removed from the water. In the meantime, filter your water. It goes like that. Destroying Tyranny Since 1776, Betsy Ross snake t-shirt. It's like, how many band logos can you put on a single shirt? How many logos that would get you kicked out of the U.S. military or investigated by the FBI can we put on a shirt? Because believe it or not, that is the state of freedom of this in this country, at least a few years ago. Do you remember there was a serial, like a list of symbols that had been banned by the U.S. Army for, you know, extremist ties? Embrace freedom and our symbols and our history unapologetically, proudly, and by going to thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We're 34 minutes into this global transmission on this live Tuesday, 23rd day of June, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones. Thank you for joining us. All right. So let's look at what's going on with Israel. And again, I want to be clear about this, not about me, but so people understand the history we're in right now. As you know, I have not been Israel-centric. I have not been Israel-phobic. I've also been not an Israel-phile, meaning I worship it. I understand that Israel's got a different people that have run it, different histories. Some things good, some things bad. Manipulating our politics, that's been going on since its founding. But Israel has become one of the top lobbies, and it's a foreign lobby, and that's wrong, and it's illegal. And now it is the top lobby, and it is, to a great extent, in control of the Trump administration and in control of Congress through AIPAC. And since Trump got back in almost, you know, 2 years ago, or 19 months ago, they have really tried to exercise that power. And they primaried members of Congress and spent record numbers of money and bragged about it and then used October 7th, where they funded Hamas and where Netanyahu had a stand down. Not defending Hamas, but you know, Israel's deep into this. Their leadership. And now they have gone into Lebanon, and now they're saying they're going to take all of Lebanon. First, it was just the south of Lebanon. It's their playground. They're going to kill everybody, burn the whole thing. These are quotes. And we're supplying the money and weapons for this. And Israel's now the most unpopular country in the world. And I've said, let's put pressure on Trump to get him to stop listening to Mark Levin and to Ben-Gvir and to Netanyahu. People are like, oh, he'll never do that. He's bad. Don't even try. Well, you were wrong. Trump is more and more going against what Netanyahu wants, saying he's disappointed in him, lost a lot of respect, saying you better watch it or we'll pull all support. We're all Israel's got left. Stop trying to be the tail that wags the dog. So there's a fight over the heart and soul of this country and who runs it. And Israel's responded by saying we need to be independent from the U.S. by merging with their military and co-owning their weapons. And they want Congress to basically pass a treaty saying that and wedding Israel into us. I mean, this is treason. We'll talk about what Tucker Carlson coming up in the third hour today. But I can tell you from behind the scenes, this is true. The Times of Israel reports Netanyahu in panic over new U.S.-Iran-Lebanon oversight mechanism. U.S. official denies Israel excluded. But Israel has been excluded from the negotiations because they sabotage him and then try to bomb the negotiators. Israel Minister Ben-Gvir rejects ceasefire, says IDF should attack Beirut. He says all the countries should be their playground. Target all of Lebanon, burn all of Lebanon. These are quotes. And Netanyahu ought to break with Trump. Well, that's already happened. And then look at this photo. Let's pull up the HD of this if we can. This is Netanyahu yesterday flaunting his power. Retired U.S. generals, admirals, intelligence officials, diplomats, this is deep state, and former government officials who advised policymakers on the Middle East met with Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. And he's constantly having these meetings and meeting with podcasters and meeting with influencers. And he's got Mark Levin working for him openly, saying he works for him, and then Mark Levin denies it. It's just amazing. He's basically Israel's ambassador to Trump. And so is Mike Huckabee is the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., not the other way around. He's saying he'd rather live in Israel than the U.S. Well, good, stay there. As talks sideline Israel, Netanyahu says we need to free ourselves from the dependence of U.S. arms by co-owning the arms. Oh, we still get the arms, but they're ours now. Israel sets three key conditions for ending occupation of southern Lebanon. Hezbollah must surrender and, quote, Israel must be able to inspect the whole country and blow up every underground tunnel or bunker, which they could always claim there's more with no proof, before they'll leave southern Lebanon. Ben-Gvir says that's not enough. They want all of Lebanon. So here is Israeli operative Jonathan Pollard 2.0, in my view, Mark Levin, talking about these Republicans better watch it. What are you doing bullying little baby Israel? We're just trying to survive here, and you're saying you run us, you're primarying people, you've got all this money and power, half the billionaires are Jewish, you got most of them supporting you, and I don't care if you were the Chinese, the British, or the Easter Bunny, I don't want some foreign group running us. And then you do all this anti-Semitism stuff and it loses its effect on people. Tucker Carlson's the new Hitler. Alex Jones loves Hitler. That's not even true. Hitler's been dead for 80-something years. You guys want to keep this World War II idea going where we're the good guys, everybody else is Hitler. Do what we say. Stop bullying us. It's the Israel lobby running around bullying Congress into submission. Newsflash, Netanyahu. Newsflash, Likudniks. You're the bullies. We're like a battered wife that wants to just get out of the relationship. So here's a clip of Mark Levin saying what I just said, but I'd like to show you when I make a claim. And then it's dovetails. It's in Hebrew, but I'll read the subtitles, the closed captioning of the head of their intelligence. He's a national security advisor. He's over it all. The real nut that runs Israel right now, Ben-Gvir, saying They want to destroy everything we built. So, you know, we've got to take them down. We've got to burn all of Lebanon. It's our playground. We're not leaving. We don't care if Iran says that's part of the deal. We don't care. And then remember what happened Friday, 1 hour after they signed a peace deal, Israel did with a ceasefire with Hezbollah. Israel launched 150 plus strikes and just obliterated whole neighborhoods. So this is outrageous. And Israel admits they're sabotaging the peace process. And it's got to stop. Again, they said Iran would fall within 4 days. They said an uprising would do it. They knew in their own studies it's come out that that wasn't probably going to happen. But they didn't roll the dice. They wanted us engaged in the Middle East for them, for greater Israel, sucked into a wider war. The Pentagon told Trump it's not going to work. Gabbard told him. Joe Kent, they're all gone now. So Trump admits he was given bad advice, but he hasn't admitted he was wrong to go after the people that gave him the good advice. Think about that. Think about all of you out there, maybe 30% of the audience, great people on, you know, social issues and sovereignty and, you know, stopping and cutting our son's genitals off. And you know, and you're most of you are even anti-Ukraine war, but I'm talking about of the group that's pro-war. When it comes to Israel, the plan wouldn't work. It didn't work. And Israel just says, stay in it. It's about regime change. So the definition of insanity, as Einstein said, is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking you'll get a different outcome. It's really true. It is one of the definitions of insanity. So here is the Israeli ambassador to the United States, their chief propaganda minister, Mark Joseph Goebbels Levin. Here he is.
I want to say to people in and out of the administration, stop trashing, smearing, bullying the little state of Israel. Stop cozying up to and telling us that the enemy regime in Iran is now more rational, more moderate, and a regime that we can deal with. When just a few months ago they slaughtered 50,000 people, they're still hanging young people today. And if they had a nuclear missile today, they'd fire it into our country as sure as I'm alive. I don't know what's going on, but if people think they can bully a little country, and really a people that have existed 4,000 years through the Babylonians and the Persians, through the Romans and the Third Reich, into surrendering their defense and their decision on how to secure their country, they got another thing coming. I think it's outrageous. When we used to see the Secretary of War and the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff daily here on Fox tell us of the fantastic marriage, symmetry between our militaries in defeating this enemy. I'm really appalled by this. And I hope it comes to an end sooner than later. Because it's not right, it's not just, and it's not truthful.
Ah, the incredible marriage of our two militaries. Did any of the American people get to vote? Did the American people support Israel? Obviously doing the pitching, we're doing the catching. Because that's what's in the Defense Authorization Act, Section 224 that Netanyahu wrote, he brags, is to merge, to integrate, to synchronize from intelligence to weapons development to live time actions. Our military and intelligence from academia to DARPA right down to the battlefield with Israel. And there is Mark Levin, who's so coordinated with Netanyahu. And he's saying, look at this beautiful marriage. Look at how we're totally integrated and just systematically, perfectly choreographed. We're simpatico, basically, with the Israeli military. It's beautiful. But I'm not an Israeli operative. I don't even talk to them when he's in Jerusalem giving a speech to Jewish leaders with Netanyahu. Huckabee gets up. All I want to say is Trump can fire me any moment, but I'm loyal to you. I'd rather live here. Get that quote from yesterday, because there's two of them where he says, yeah, Trump could fire me anytime. I have to check Truth Social. Ha, ha, ha. We'll see how long I'll be here. And, oh, I'd rather live in Jerusalem. Wow, from the U.S. ambassador to Israel. Israel. I mean, it's just Israel, 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 Israel. 9 million people. Tiny country. Super rich compared to us. We're falling apart. More money, more money, more money for you. Yeah. Let's go to Huckabee, then I'll go to these new clips of Ben-Gavir. Also, their finance ministers making similar statements. Oh, we're victims. Everybody's ganged up on us. Oh, if Trump doesn't give us everything we want and stay in the war for regime change forever and keep the strait closed and the fertilizer turned off and the rare earth minerals and screw up the world economy, if he doesn't do that, you're bullying us. Mark Levin, look, I'm wearing a giant women's brooch of an American flag. You have to listen to me. It's a giant brooch. I'm an American. You're not. Here is Huckabee.
Last year, I was back in Washington after the 12-day war with the prime minister and for the meetings we had with the president and the U.S. team. And while I was there, on two different occasions, I got surrounded by these pro-Hamas crazy people. One started out as two ladies. It ended up being about 20 people surrounding me, yelling and screaming, and it was really getting close to a little uncomfortable. Finally, some D.C. police officers came and extracted me. A couple of nights later, I was leaving the Blair House, where there was a reception, and some same pro-Hamas crazy people across the street recognized me. And that's not all it's cracked up to be. And they started screaming and yelling. And finally, Senator Jim Lankford of Oklahoma had a car coming. I was waiting on an Uber. And he said, just get in my car. I'm not sure you're going to make it till the Uber gets here. Thank the Lord for him. So he got me out of there. And I told some of my friends later, I said, I can't wait to get out of this crazy town and get back to Jerusalem where I feel safe. Now, the interesting thing is, they did what you did. They laughed and they thought it was a punchline. I said, I'm not kidding. I really am anxious to get out of this crazy town and get back to Jerusalem because I feel safe there.
Well, D.C.'s violent crime's down over, what, 95%? But it is dangerous in D.C. at night. It's true. But you see, we've let the left undermine society, dumb everybody down, cradle this racial division. Your answer is just run to Israel. Because that's what you care about. That's what you stand for. As Netanyahu's lapdog, as his poodle, as his salacious crumb that, like, sits in the lap of Jabba the Hutt. Now, here's Ben-Gavir, who is the most powerful person in Israel, the head of all their intelligence agencies, the national security advisor. There is, like, over all those. And he said a few days, last week, as you know, he said, on Friday, we need to just burn all of Lebanon, kill everybody. It's all ours. We're taking it all, not just southern Lebanon. And now he's basically reiterating those statements. Let's go to it. I'll read the closed captions. See here and see there. Start over again. Sorry, he talks fast. See here and see there, but I do not accept this restriction that exists on certain areas in the state of Lebanon. Lebanon, all of Lebanon should become our playground. All of Lebanon should be our goal, and I say to myself in a minute, but there is Lebanon and there is Hezbollah. I don't accept the artificial approach. Lebanon has a country. There is a name in the Lebanese government. Hezbollah members are ministers on behalf of Hezbollah, and they have a revolving door policy. So he said, we want to take it all. You saw right there where he said we should take it all. In fact, start it over. I'm going to read it to you again. He says we should take it all because there are Shiites in the country. That's their excuse. That's why they put Hamas in the late 70s, early 80s, created it, funded it, didn't run it, but created it and funded it to be illegitimate, foam at the mouth Muslims so that they would have any legitimate government in Gaza so they could continue to blow it up and ethnically cleanse it and finally take it all as they've now done. And now they're calling it the Gaza option, the Gaza plan, in Lebanon. And he's saying, it's not just southern Lebanon. 6 months ago, if you said the Israelis wanted southern Lebanon, which they did say they wanted, you were a Nazi liar. Now it's like, hell yeah, we want southern Lebanon and the whole thing. Yeah, there's the times of Israel. For years, Netanyahu propped up Hamas. Now it's blown up in our faces. No, it didn't. It's blown up and you've gotten all this power and control. Yeah, the world's turned against you, but you don't care. Your leadership. All right, let's go back to Ben-Gavir. Go ahead. So hear and see there, but I do not accept this restrictions that exist. Continue. On the certain areas in the state of Lebanon. Lebanon, all of Lebanon should be our playground. All of Lebanon should be our goal. Stop there. All of Lebanon should be our playground. All of Lebanon should be our playground. All of Lebanon should be our goal. All of Lebanon should be our playground. All of Lebanon should be our goal. This is on TV. And he goes up there with real estate magnates, and they're already pre-positioning who's going to get what plots to build on and already pre-selling southern Lebanon. Israel's deliberate targeting of children, part of ongoing Gaza genocide UN probe. I don't like the UN, but it's actually true. They admit, I've got all these ministers saying, yeah, we're killing kids. Yeah, we're going to kill them all. It's Amalek. Amalek. All right, let's go back. All Lebanon's our goal. And I say to myself, wait a minute, but there is Lebanon and there is Hezbollah. I don't accept that artificial approach. Lebanon has a country. There is a name in the Lebanese government. Hezbollah members are in the government on the behalf of Hezbollah. They have a revolving door policy. Continue. Now, here's another one. Here is Israel Finance Minister Smotrich accuses EU officials of plotting with opposition figures to dismantle Jewish settlements in the West Bank. They're weaving a plan to destroy everything we've built. Yeah, kind of discredits you when you're saying you just want those areas for security, and now every few weeks you blow up one of the final Christian 2,000-year-old settlements that are totally nice to you and blow up churches. And then desecrate the icons. I mean, just come on, stop being villains. But you're not. So I have to oppose you. And the whole world's turned against you. And it's so fashionable to hate Israel. And if somebody slips in a banana peel, Israel did it. You know, I see all that stuff too. So I'm not with the Islamics. I'm not with the Nazis. And I'm not with you. Got it? Be like if you're walking along, you know, at the park and you see three different dog turds, three different dogs. Like, which one would you like to eat? I'm like, none of it. Like you go to some scam car dealership and there's a Pinto, a Gremlin, and a Pacer. And you're like, I just want to get a used truck, a Chevy truck, or a Ford truck. Nope. You are going to get a Pacer, a Gremlin, or a Pinto. And I'm like, no, I don't want an exploding gas tank car from the 70s. Nope. I'm leaving your dealership. Bye-bye. Israel's the Gremlin. The Muslims are the Pacer. You know, the whole leftist, globalist system. I mean, I don't know what you're going to call it, a burning dumpster. I mean, I reject it all. You want arsenic? You want cyanide? You want to take this other poison? Now, how about none of it? Oh, but Israel's our friend. Let them run us. Let us marry their military. Sorry. I don't want to marry anybody's foreign military. It's called treason. So let's read the subtitles with their finance minister playing victim. Here it is. First course, officials in European, start over again. First course, officials in the European Union, along with foreign elements, funded by the international capital, have conspired with opposition, and I say this with certainty, they are weaving a plan to dismantle everything we've built in the settlements, enterprise in Judea. And at the core of the plan is the expulsion of 100 new settlements and 60 additional agricultural farms that have been established in Judea and Samaria as part of the settlement revolution. We are building the security belt that they want to dismantle it. All right. And boy, then you'll have a security belt up to central Lebanon and then a security belt here. There. Guys, pull up the map that they put on the Israeli military tanks and on their uniforms. I mean, it's like 80% of the whole Middle East. Big parts of Egypt, Syria, all of Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, big parts of that. You think everybody's just going to sit back while you do this? And then you want us to backstop it? And then you see how your Iran war is going for us. Your chutzpah won't get us over the top here. And God forbid they would have had regime change. God forbid they would have had regime change. Yeah, part of Iraq, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. Good Lord. But part of Sudan? I mean, there ain't many places these old boys don't want. Absolute total megalomania. All right, I'm done talking about Israel. New York Times and Telegram surrender. Admit Russia's actually expanding all over the Ukraine, winning, so the UK's authorized giant missiles to be given to Ukraine to blow them up. That's coming up. We'll get into all the other international news, the economy, and more. Don't forget Tucker Carlson joins us in about an hour and 5 minutes from now. Pick Your Boot coming up as well. But let me just take a moment out and tell you about this. This came in. They had a limited run. It sold out. They got another run. It sold out. They came up with a name. It's kind of a ridiculous name, but it's got a great cover. Ultimate Power, Energy Focus, Blood Flow, and Endurance. If you liked Turbo Force, that was an amazing pre-workout, post-workout, at least 10-hour clean energy, you're going to love Ultimate Power. It's got most of the same ingredients. It's just even stronger and got some other great ingredients. And look, this is a giant canister. This thing is heavy. A tiny scoop of this in the morning, and your day is going to be amazing. You don't need coffee. You don't need anything else for 10 hours. And it's got all these different types of natural caffeine. Notice we've been using this here overhead shot at the office. I have had this open, and I most days I don't even need it because it's so strong. But sometimes when I got to work till like midnight, I'll take some at noon, and I have trouble going to sleep at midnight, and there's really no letdown. But it's got all this organic forms of different type of natural stimulants and caffeine, so it time releases. It's got some that hits in like 30 minutes, and then there's others that's time release, the types of it, and where it comes. And then it's got all these super nutrients and vitamins and minerals. This is so strong. Be careful with it. People absolutely love it. It gets 5-star reviews. Ultimate Power is back in stock, massively discounted for a limited time right now. You guys asked for it, and it's finally back at thealexandstore.com. Ultimate Power is a clean daily performance formula built to support energy, focus, blood flow, stamina, and endurance. Whether you're working out, training, taking care of your family, or just trying to feel strong and sharp again, it has hundreds of milligrams of caffeine, about the same as normal cup of coffee, but it's energized with L-theanine and a whole bunch of other super nutrients that supercharge it. Alpha GPC, L-theanine, vitamin B6, vitamin B. Have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026, and they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, and the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition, with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one. Very simple. America 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean. Very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You're going to promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts. I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. So, hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Senator Johnson, can we get you on the COVID cover-up? So why do you think legacy media such as CNN is not covering this?
Why aren't you covering this?
I want to ask you about Iran, the war in Iran.
You know, you really ought to cover the fact that Peter Marks knew on March 1st of 2021 that their algorithms were hiding safety signals. On 26 days later, found out 25 serious adverse events like sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of strokes, and they buried it. They hid it. It's a major scandal. It's even as big a scandal that the major media is completely ignoring the story. It's been out now for almost 6 weeks.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic.
What they thought was going to happen during Biden and Kamala, that they would take out a lot of my generation and older, clear the deck. Turned out the bioweapon wasn't fully tunable. And guess what happened?
We took out the wrong demographic.
They took you out. Before COVID begins in 2019, we get this guy from Harvard University arrested at the airport, caught with 21 vials of nanobat technology. His name's Charles Lieber. Two guys from China who worked at Wuhan gets arrested with him. They take the 21 vials away. He's the expert in wideband technology. That was what they were going to use to tune the bioweapon to take us out. They had to redeploy and put that stuff in Ukraine because they had to protect China from stealing this technology. Who wasn't ready? Pfizer. So what does Pfizer decide to do? They go downstairs three floors to their genetic department and they find SV40. They use SV40 to design their jab because they're late to the game. And what do they then do? They tell their scientists to use a molecular tool to take the evidence of SV40 out, and then they present a clean version to the FDA and they get approved.
CDC awarded Pfizer $735 million plus dollars for infant COVID shots, paying them, and the government tried to say it was mandatory when it wasn't, to then poison babies with it. This is the pure evil, the kind of stuff they've been trying to suppress the public from knowing. Then they also paid the federal government over $2 billion to major pharmacies, most of it went to CVS and Walgreens, to not prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, even though the elites were all taking it, and it was proven to be very effective.
How many thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of people are permanently disabled or possibly lost their life because our FDA hid the fact that there were safety signals screaming at them with the COVID injection?
I gotta tell you, MAHA should be in an outrage. This was a massive issue on the campaign. It's still a massive issue. Many parents do not want their children to ever receive a COVID vaccine shot. Why? Kids don't need it.
Good job, MTG. Now, here I am in 2009, 2010, and 2011, exposing UN documents, WF planning, Operation Lockstep, CIA, John Hopkins. People ask how to know about lockdown, 6 feet apart, masking. They admitted it was about training you to be a slave, to be locked in your house. Once cell phones got up to a point they could track and control you, which they had way before COVID, they were going to implement this as the new slave control grid. That's how I knew.
Rockefeller study envisions future dictatorship controlled by elite, millions being killed, mandatory quarantines, checkpoints, the end of the family, everything that's in the other documents. But this dovetails with all the other Rockefeller Foundation documents about the GMO food to sterilize you and the forced vaccines and the hell we're already living in. This is going to continue to intensify until we take our governments back from these eugenics madmen. These people are so arrogant that they write policy papers, so many of them, that they're producing these policy papers and reports and white papers so fast that you could never read them all. It is an open conspiracy against you and your family. The only chance we've got of beating this scientific dictatorship, this creeping death that takes its time to incrementally enslave you, mentally, psychologically, physically, spiritually, the only way to defeat it is for the rank and file of this planet to realize that you have a choice to make on what your destiny is going to be. Once you face this information, once you've consciously admitted it to yourself, it will take over your life. It should take over your life. Well, I mean, what else?
Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on Tri-Iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat, high quality, with a nice leather patch, made in the USA, just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, the concept. 1776, Redneck Deluxe. I mean, that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good-looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Transparent role. Everything I do is on my sleeve. I stand for human civilization. I stand for God, family, and country. Somebody's got to try to be a good guy. Somebody's got to not be on the payroll of anybody but the truth. That's why I'm funded by listeners and viewers at thealexjonesstore.com with great supplements and t-shirts and knives and water filtration, just all good things you need. That way I'm not beholden to anybody. And if you like the information we cover, and if you find it to be accurate and helpful, then you support us, you pray for us, you share the articles, you share the videos, you share the URLs, you share the video feeds, you decide how much this broadcast is amplified. You support us and get great products at the same time, thealexjonesstore.com, and you decide whether you're going to promote our URL with the free video feeds and audio feeds of the shows and all the articles and information the bad guys don't want out there. It's your decision whether you're going to carry the ball and be the emissaries and the ambassadors and the emissaries of truth, the light in the dark. So just always remember when you look at the mirror that you're not part of the team, you are the team. You're not part of the solution, you are the solution, the millions of people out there watching. And when you decide to warn others and wake them up and take action and they decide to do the same thing, that creates the chain reaction, which is unstoppable. All right, almost every Tuesday, Victor Boot, very famous businessman, soldier, Eric Prince, you know, type Russian version of that, former political prisoner in the United States, and he's also elected major regional leader in Putin's party over in Russia. Everything he's been telling us, this has been coming on the show the last few years, has turned out to be extremely accurate. And I do a lot of research into all of the things that are happening, and I find his analysis is the best out there. And the bottom line is the old order, the fourth turning is here. The globalists are trying to bring in greater tyranny and a world government. We are opposing that. They don't want any nation states, any sovereignty. And chief amongst that and their main target is Russia. The same cultural poison, the same brainwashing, the same Satanism, the same pedophilia that they poison us with, they're trying to poison Russia with, but Russia has been very successful, probably the most successful, pulling away from that and then helping lead Eastern Europe out of that, and that's why the globalists hate Russia. And so now the EU is having to admit, major British newspapers are having to admit, like the London Telegraph, that the Russians are advancing very quickly from the east into the west, taking major cities and towns. Boot predicted months ago that in the coming months, Ukraine would launch a provocative stunt, probably into Crimea, to try to push the Russians back in a few areas to have a symbolic victory. That is indeed happening, but they haven't gotten much land. But in the real world, Russia's intensifying bombardments in response to Ukrainian NATO-backed bombardments and is winning and is preparing to accelerate even more from everything I've seen. I think Boot can fill us in on that. Meanwhile, sheer madness, UK tests long-range missile for Ukraine to bomb Moscow, a heavy missile that would blow up entire blocks. Obviously, it's a provocation. So we'll look at that latest situation, how it ties in with Israel sabotaging the peace deal by continuing attacks in Lebanon, with their top minister saying they want all of Lebanon to burn, all of it belongs to them, and that the goal is all of it. I played Ben-Gvir, their intelligence head, in the cabinet saying that last hour. So Victor Boot is on X at Real Victor Boot. Be sure and check him out and follow him there, where they post this interview every week and also other big interviews he's doing. I'm glad that he's getting involved in the media because he's obviously very smart and articulate. And so, Victor, thank you for joining us on this 23rd day of June 2026. So much to discuss, but I think you agree with me that history is on humanity's side. The globalists admit they're fighting a losing battle, but they're not giving up because they're enriching themselves by protracting this as long as possible, but endangering the whole world under the threat of nuclear hellfire and obviously economic devastation, bare minimum, with the Strait of Hormuz continuing to be closed and the peace deal being sabotaged yet again. So thank you for joining us. If you can just give us an overview on the latest developments since we talked last week and this provocation by the UK, obviously, to elicit what Russia's warned of, bombardment of military bases and weapons caches, not just in Ukraine, but in Europe. Though we do see Poland beginning to pull away from Ukraine, pointing out, why do you give out Nazi awards, the Order of the Eagle, to your soldiers? Why do you, Poland saying we're getting ready to break with Ukraine over the Nazi worship, which everybody's been ignoring, which is even Zelensky said, sure, we got Nazis. They're Ukrainian too. So some good signs as well. Victor Boot, thank you for joining us.
Well, Alex, hi. Just to put record straight, I'm actually part of the High Council of Opposition party, not the Putin's party, but nevertheless.
I get it all confused. I was reading a British newspaper. I'm sure they got it wrong. So I shouldn't believe anything they say.
Okay. All right, good. And actually, we're criticizing a lot our government. We're also proposing a lot of the different, you know, legislative initiatives. Okay, now let's go to the main issue. You're absolutely right. Now, this is eventually the globalist feeling that their days are numbered, and they're trying a desperate attempt to show the victory or at least launch the massive counteroffensive. If you look what's happened on the G7 meeting, basically, the French president and the Europeans, globalists, tried to sell it as a huge success as if they succeeded to bring Trump in their camp. And now that there was their commentary, especially of the French media, which is very close to the President Macron, that finally, after very long and very hard job, they succeeded to bring Trump to support Ukraine. They hired a numerous psychologist, you know, behavior specialist, who would consult them what they need to do and how they need to behave, that the Trump would be at least able to speak for a couple minutes with Zelensky and give him certain promises. Whether it's true, I don't think so. Finally, what's going on, I think for Trump, the globalist is even more staunch enemy than anybody else, because they are threatening him, they are orchestrated attempt on his life, and they would not leave any legacy of the both terms of the President Trump if they had the chance of doing so. And now everything become so mixed up, it's even sometimes for the normal people completely confusing what's going on. over hearing there is a peace deal, then Hormuz Strait opened, then it's again closed, and there is again bombardment at the south of Lebanon, then the Ukraine claiming they trying to launch some attacks. When you start checking the facts, apparently it's a Russian army moving slowly but successfully, and they did not succeed any territory to Ukrainian advances. Ukrainians preparing to some advance towards the Crimea. They're trying to heat the fuel supplies. They succeeded in some occasion. Yes, there is a certain limitation and difficulties to reorganize logistically the supply into Crimea. But I think, you know, within a short period of time, this problem would be sorted out. What they're trying to do, they're trying to sabotage the high touristic season when many Russians go for the beaches of Crimea to enjoy their summer holiday. It's almost like the equivalent of the your Florida for Russians, and we love and enjoy famous Crimean beach, and it's over 900 kilometers of those beaches in this peninsula, which is make it a very, very attractive touristic destination. Well, at least, you know, this mainly information war, it's mainly propaganda. So the Zelensky regime, in his desperate attempt trying to sell the victories, trying to get more money before all is over, and he will have to face the music, because the final end of this is coming. Well, if Europe now openly stating that they are preparing for the war with Russia by 2030, well, you think we will sit and do nothing? As we, you know, was analyzing with you for the past year or so, this conflict is really, I would say, as a result that the West, or especially globalists, thinking that they would overrun and ban Russia for their, you know, ultimatums, demands. They think that they're going to put before the Russia certain condition that they have to accept, and then the Ukraine will declare that they win and force Russia to pay reparation. Well, I guess the Russia can force entire Europe and all globalists pay reparation, and I think this how this conflict will end. Because despite they would try to hit several targets with their long-range drones, which is now massively produced in Europe, but think of this. It's make Europeans now part of the conflict. And accordingly, all rules and traditions of war, Russia has all rights to attack any of this installation. Doesn't matter where they are in Europe, whether it's in UK, France, Germany, Holland, Denmark, Finland, Poland, Romania, Italy, Spain, or even Turkey. This all organized and financed by the taxpayer money, and instead of, you know, minding really business of their own countries, all these leaders who basically graduates from the Soros programs for a very long time ago, when the Soros start to bring, you know, the new elites, you know, those who will sell their own countries for the peanuts, ready to sacrifice them. In these conditions, definitely this conflict will escalate, as we've been discussing with you. We're really, really now another step is over. Just recently, Zelensky was giving ultimatum to the Belarusian leader Lukashenko that he has removed some electronic equipment from their observation towers on the border with Ukraine. It's actually Ukraine sharing the northern border with the Belarus.
In fact, stop right there for just a second, Victor, because this is a big deal, and I meant that's on my list of questions. They've been threatening to kill the leader of White Russia, Belarus. They've been threatening to invade, and then over the weekend they said Zelensky threatened to attack them, all because they have troops on their own border. The arrogance of that, what is the point of that?
Well, it's just a, you know, I think a purely orchestrated psyops. He's trying to show off, oh, if you don't comply, you know, okay, you have a 1 week. If you don't remove this equipment, we will, you know, attack you. We will just smash you. We will send our, you know, brave soldiers, and they will occupy Belarus. Well, what they don't understand, that the Russia in Ukraine is basically a so-called union state. We have in a signed agreement which make us both utmost like one state, because we recognize each other, all documents.
So would you say it's basically part of the border? You said it's basically part of the Russian Federation.
It's not part of federation. It's really as more as a really union between Belarus and Russia. Belarus kept all their sovereignty under their question, and there is a very high degree of all coordination with the Belarusians, and its coordination goes not only on industrial level, where the Belarusian enterprises, companies, and business fully integrated into the Russian markets. Same true for the Russian companies in Belarus. And there is also very, very, very close cooperation, almost daily, within our armed forces.
And I was about to say, hasn't Putin made it clear that they've moved even more nuclear weapons into Belarus? And correct me if I'm wrong, hasn't Russia even given Belarus nuclear weapons?
Correct. There is, since last year, there is, was a nuclear, tactical nuclear weapons position in Belarus, which is make a deployment time and the flight time way shorter for at least thousands of minutes. And another one, Russia also deployed in the Belarus Oreshnik, which make it even, you know, more, lethal weapons, you know, a part of the tactical nuclear weapons. Plus, if Ukraine wants another front line of 1,000 kilometers, well, they're welcome. Let's let them try and see what
will
happen.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm no military expert like you, but it seems if Ukraine is losing, starting a fight with Belarus, that's huge population, well-trained, tough, has a lot of weapons, backed up by Russia, why would you then start another fight and give Russia and Belarus the excuse to come in? Obviously, Belarus is much closer to Kiev than where the Russians are in the east. That sounds like the dumbest move ever.
Well, they will do the same stunt they tried to pull on Kursk Oblast in Russian region over 2 years ago, when they will move in, try to occupy it, at least one district center, you know, proclaim that there is a movement of the opposition of Belarus who are trying to liberate from last dictator, how they call it, Lukashenko, and then, you know, call it like a free Belarus movement, free Belarusian army, and whatever, and try to sell it to the, again, the globalist sponsors as another project they need to finance.
So it's another excuse. It's another excuse to give NATO an excuse to declare the articles. Now I'm going off mainstream media, which I know is my fault, and I normally don't listen to it, but I was doing some more research on Russia over the weekend, and you came up, so I was reading articles from 3 or 4 years ago when you first got released, and so it was saying then that you had joined Putin's party. That's probably not true either. You can just fill us in. It's so interesting. But it was saying you got your start as a linguist and you know, an officer in the Russian military at the end of the Cold War, helping Belarus and Lushenko, or however you say his name, specifically sell a lot of its surplus weapons to help get their economy going. Is that an even accurate statement, and do you know the president well?
Well, it's absolutely false statement. Yes, I've been in the Soviet army, and when the Soviet Union collapsed because of reduction of the Soviet army, I also was resigned. Yes, I work in Belarus, but commercially only with the air freight logistics. I unfortunately didn't know personally President Lukashenko. Well, I hope I will have a chance to know him personally, you know, in the near future, but not for my past experiences.
So that's more, so you don't know Lukashenko, so just more lies. It's literally everything I read in the British news about you just is not even true.
Well, fine. What is true in the British press, you know? So it's basically, if you read what they're saying, you can, you know.
So they can't even get, I can show you the articles, they can't even get it right what party you're in? It's just crazy.
Correct. That's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem with the British and many other mainstream media all over the world. Because look, they basically control with a very small same group. How many of British newspapers still controlled by the Murdoch and the same clan controlling many of United States?
Well, it's interesting. Let's get it on record to millions of people. Tell us about the party you are in, how you got involved in politics. You say you do oppose some of Putin's policies. You're obviously a smart businessman. That's just an interesting factoid. Talk about the party you are in, what you oppose, what the policies you support in Russia are.
Well, basically, look, the LDPR, which is a liberal democratic party of Russia, well, it's a little bit do not really correspond to really positions, because this is party which was created the first still in Soviet Union, when the Communist Party still has their dictatorship. So we are the oldest party of the new Russia. So we just celebrated last year 35th anniversary of the LDPR. In the 90s, LDPR had a majority in Russian parliament. We had the biggest fraction of the deputies. And Zhirinovsky then was the speaker of the parliament. Since then, we've been always the party of opposition. Well, but our position is always the same. We are for the strong, prosperous Russia. We are a patriotic party. We are defending basically interest of the population, of the workers, of the businesses. We're calling where it's needed government and the party of the power for, you know, what we see must be done in the, you know, country. And we are also a party who are basically proposing more bills in the Duma than any other parties. So we are small but very effective force who fighting for the, you know, population, for the interest of the Russia.
And well, the reason that's so interesting is, and again, I know not to believe mainstream media, but even I get shocked by the level of, they don't get anything right, because I read a ton of, you know, European and UK news, and they just, as a fact, say he's a Viktor Boot is a Putin confidant. He's a Putin Kremlin insider. He's in Putin's party. And I know they lie, but lies that big. And then here you are in an opposition party, and it just shows how it's just complete upside down world. It's crazy.
Well, that's absolutely right. Look, only today we finished our party congress, what we approved the list of the all candidates who will run for election in this September, because we have the election of our Duma or parliament, you know. So this is a now very, very important period for us. We also announced today our program of the reforms, which in Russia we as a party deciding it's necessary. Before that, we've been rallying and asking opinion in many regions of Russia what's really to be done. We have several slogans. We say that, look, we need to fight inequality between the capital, Moscow, and the rest of Russia. You know, we're saying that the Russia is not only Moscow. So we are pushing also to solve the problem with the population, with the birth rates.
You have the same problems we have. D.C. thinks it's correct. The center of the world, and our birth rates have got big. We have the same problems.
Yeah, we're also trying to push for the equal wages for the teachers in all regions, because we have this big difference between wages of teachers in Moscow and the rest of the country. We're also pushing for way more infrastructure projects, you know, better roads, better services for people. We want that our veterans have no hassle when they return home from the conflicts and from the wars. We also pushing that, you know, our industries are booming, are not being stagnated because of the improper policies of our central bank. So basically, you know, we're seeing the problem and openly, without any, you know, kind of moderation, discussing them.
Well, we always hear that Putin doesn't allow any opposition. Is that true?
No, it's absolutely not. Just it's a different relation in Russia. Look. The Putin was visiting just last, 2 months ago, a exhibition which was next to the Kremlin about the Zhirinovsky, because this year we're celebrating his 80th birthday. Unfortunately,
hold on, stay there, Victor. I want to hear more about this. It's fascinating inside Russian politics. Then we'll shift gears to geopolitics, the U.S. and Israel. Here's three big announcements right now. We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America, 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyrannies of 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, Ride Fast, Live Free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 Free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the Deep State. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can, you know, promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com. New America's 250th birthday limited edition, July 4th, apparel now available. And right now, introductory, they're 30% off all apparel on the site, not just the American 250th birthday limited editions. It's only available for a month and a half. These designs are limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship with you. And so the only way you miss out is not getting our T3, our bovine colostrum, our ultramethylene red, our Shilajit, our Irish sea moss. They're all amazing. But if you do anything, methylene blue and the water filtration system, when you take this out of the box, I've never seen, I went and checked. It's the highest stainless steel there is. And it turned out it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was somewhat more, another 30% more to have this. But I mean, it's just standalone. Nobody's got anything even close to this. I congratulations, Bigley. I am very impressed. Very, very impressed. I know a winner when I see it. And this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water, one of the biggest things you can do to take control of your life. And it's going to fund this operation. So I am literally in love with this. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I forget the term when you're attracted to, like, sports cars and objects. I've never been sexually attracted to, like, a sports car, though I thought they're cool. Never been sexually attracted to... I'm actually being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now, okay? This is... because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. Actually, kind of not. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it, and I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support and Bigley knocking it out of the park.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, Tucker Carlson is always kicking ass, but he's in the zeitgeist. He's going to break big news next hour with us. Be sure and join us on Rumble, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live, and on X at Real Alex Jones and stations across the country. Victor Boot is our guest. I didn't mean to make us rabbit trail off into internal Russian politics. And as much as I don't believe mainstream media, I just cannot believe they continue to construct entire systems of lies where even none of it's even real. And there I am even buying into it. So I don't expect stuff even of that magnitude. That's really how they still get us. Now, you were finishing up, and the break cuts you off. That's a hard break we had to take for local stations. Victor Boot, elected leader in Russia, former political prisoner here in the United States. You were saying Putin went to a exhibition. Tell us what it was. You're about to tell a story. Go ahead.
Okay. So look, this year, again, even the Putin signed the decree celebrating 80 years anniversary of the Vladimir Zhirinovsky, founder of LDPR party. And this was a basically state planned campaign, because he really was a founder of the present day political system of the Russia, because LDPR was the first party after the Communist Party. And eventually we basically put a foundation of the system of political in Russia, of the modern Russia. So we have a total about 18 parties. You know, yes, there is a party of power, United Russia, then there is a Communist Party of Russia, there is a LDPR, Liberal Democratic Party of Russia, there is a social, what they call it, SR, the Just Russia Party, basically Socialist Party, and there is a New People Party, recently formed party. So this is all five parties, which is a...
Who are the most, who is the most right wing? Who is the most hard line? Who's most pissed off at Putin?
Well, look, I would say all parties, except of United parties, has their own degree of criticism of the government. But this criticism, very different from what, you know, you used to do, because we are not collecting the dirt, not smudging it over the faces. We are not interested into this. The criticism goes that we would say, hey, you know, we're suggesting that this would be better initiative. And we in a constant contact with the government, and we said, hey, this is idea, if it works or not. And guess what? Many times they said, yes, it's good. And then all parties supporting it. So basically, this is a, I would say, it's not cacophony. It's a mainly of symphony, where our population has the choice. You want to go to the communist? Okay, you're welcome. They're still there. They have also their, you know, group in the parliament. So you can address, if you feel that the communist idea is still attracting to you, you can go to them. Or you can go to the Liberal Democratic Party, which we stands for freedom, which we stand for independence, which we are trying to create out of Russia, most prosperous, most beautiful country for the living. So this is gives again of our waters a perfect choice. And this is in a staunch contract between the Democrats and the Republicans in the United States, where it doesn't matter what other party would propose, another one would completely would be against it. Here we are in Russia. Often we do support the bills, which is party of power preparing, if they have a common sense. At the same time, you know, they are supporting our proposal, and sometimes we even agreed with the communists if their proposal also make a, you know, common sense. So basically, this is a difference. And our discourse are very moderated. We never go for insulting each other. There is no, you know, dirty jokes about the, you know, personalities. We all focus on the issues. And the, you know, our deputies in the parliament, at least 1 week are spending in their regions where they're receiving, the citizens, you know, visiting the places, learning their problems and trying to help.
Amazing. In closing, we talked about this some last week, and I do my own finger to the pulse and ear to the ground. But overall, you said upwards of 90%, and I agree from the numbers I've seen outside, of Russians want more hardline from Putin. I think he's actually been very moderate and very constrained. NATO wants to suck him into something that could end the planet. But overall, is the concern real? And should Putin be concerned that hardliners are getting upset that he has not been more aggressive with Ukraine? And is it true that Russia is getting more and more, the population more and more aggressive and impatient?
Well, yes, that's really the reality, because now, well, everybody is supporting that we need to finish this war as quick as possible. Everybody is calling for elimination of this criminal terrorist regime of Zelensky. We're calling that we need to really undertake some action, we will really prevent NATO countries again to threaten us, because we eventually allow them too far to encroach in our interest, in our national interest. And then, you know, the government also pushing back in the sense, yes, we're trying to hold diplomatic lines. And, you know, there is a reason between the even opportunity to discuss all the points, but far left or far right, basically now calling for the same. We need to finish this conflict, and we need to destroy this dophead Zelensky. We need to destroy this Epstein coalition, pushed a war.
How big a deal is it that the Polish government came out? I mentioned earlier, you didn't get into it, that Poland came out and said, we may not support Ukraine anymore because of their Nazi worship. They even used that term, and Lavrov said, finally, you face the reality. I mean, it really is Ukraine's main engine is left over from World War II, pro-Nazi, the grandsons of this. I mean, that's not some Putin propaganda. For God's sakes, a couple of years ago, they had the SS officer who literally ran mass exterminations on record. None of the Jewish groups wanted him getting a standing ovation at Parliament. And they said he fought the Russians in World War II, as if someone with a 70 IQ should know, yeah, against Hitler. So how big a deal is it that Poland did that, A, and then someone moved to Israel, and then B, you said 6 months ago, 4 months ago, look, Putin's going to get more hardcore soon. Then they started saying that. He has done that some in response to increased Ukrainian bombardments, but I guess we don't know a timeline on when Russia would launch a more of a blitzkrieg attack.
Well, I don't think it would be a blitzkrieg attack the way we know it. It would be very massive, I guess, you know, rocket and drones attack. And then, you know, when the principal centers and the command chain would be destroyed, then eventually we will move to control the territory. But this is a very important thing to explain. Think of this. The Nazis in Ukraine are playing the role of the hit squads. So the Zelensky relying on them to control the descent. And they are untouchable. Even if some of this Azov battalion or other Nazi formation, like a Kraken battalion, like, you know, there is other, you know, battalion who is openly going with the SS and the Nazi insignia on their, you know, chevrons, because Zelensky using them when they need to clean up any opposition of him. So Ukraine now is really became a country where the population is suppressed. There is no any practically dissent. You can't speak out against what's going on. You can't express your opinion that this is what destroying the country. Look of this. Where on the earth you're going to find the country where you cannot quit, cannot leave the country, because where the government will hunt you on the street like is this utopian movie and send you to the front line where basically in 3 days you're dead. And Ukraine have a huge shortages with the soldiers, because they have a very big losses. And look, the facts, it's very simple. When Russia and Ukraine do the swap of the bodies of the soldiers, it usually goes like last one. Russia gave to Ukrainians 28. When the Ukraine give to Russia, 28 bodies of the Russian soldiers, which they picked up from the battlefield, and Russia give to Ukraine over 1,000, you know, bodies of Ukrainian soldiers. So this is illustrate what kind of attitude the government has to their own soldiers in Ukraine, and what kind of attitude Russia has to own soldiers in Russia. So basically, since we are both countries speaking the same language, Ukrainians are using a lot of terrorist act, the methods. Like, look, they operating the huge call centers who scamming our citizens. They calling, they threatening them, they telling them, yes, this is a call from the local police or local security. We are preparing some operation. Apparently, your bank account under threat. You need to remove all the cash. We will move it to the safe account. And this is kind of become a pandemic in Russia. And government trying hard to prevent it. But these illegal coal centers operated in Ukraine are huge profit centers. And believe me, after they done this with the Russia, they're going to go and scam Europeans, scam, you know, even Americans.
Absolutely. Believe it's a giant center of criminal activity, including in the United States. One more point on Ukraine, and then I'm going to move on. Russia said when this started 4.5 years ago that there were giant bioweapon labs that Obama had expanded. Well, back at the time, Obama bragged that he did it. Then they tried to deny it. Then Victoria Nuland, under oath, admitted it. A lot of level four labs where the U.S. moved a lot of its illegal operations when they got caught during COVID doing it. And now we had the Tulsi Gabbard last Friday in her final act declassifying that, indeed, there are gain-of-function really super weapons that Ukraine has. She said it threatens all of humanity. Think of the madness in a war zone. And reportedly, the United States has not evacuated those pathogens are destroyed, though. So Russia was called liars when your head of chemical biological weapons, who they later, the Ukrainians, blew up outside his apartment right after that. He turned out Russia's report was absolutely accurate. In fact, if anything, it wasn't strong enough. Can you briefly speak to that?
Well, absolutely right. Look, since long time, the Russia was, exposing and telling that this bioweapon program of United States. And it's not only in Ukraine. Look, they move to all ex-USSR countries. They also installed the same network of the labs in Ukraine, where they've been holding and doing tests of the all kind of the lethal pathogens. They also did the same in Georgia. I mean, country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia, where they not only, run these labs, but they also reported cases where the population unexpectedly start falling dead because something happened in that neighborhood. There is also same labs.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. In the Russian report 3 years ago, they said that in eastern Ukraine, but also in areas of Russia, they had tracked pathogens that they knew were being grown in Ukraine. And Russia made the claim that NATO, through the proxy of Ukraine, was engaged in biowarfare. Remember that?
Correct. But look, Alex, you know perfectly well, there is nothing would stop the globalists. They will use all forbidden means, including all forbidden by the international treaty chemical weapons. They're going to use, if they can, biological weapons. And moreover, which is more dangerous, what really going on in this lab, they're trying to now create a smart weapon, which would only affect particular ethnicity.
Like race-specific.
Race-specific, correct. Race-specific pathogens, and they're now developing the special series of these, pathogens against the Russians, or against Slavic or entire the population in Russia, because we are not only Slavic population. We're having at least 186 other ethnicities except the Russians. So then now they're trying to, really adjust that pathogen that it would be effective. Well, our, biological services and the army also aware of this. They also conducting their own research, be able to elaborate quickly the necessary markers, testers, and also the vaccines against it. As you know, just recently, when this breakout of the Ebola happened in the Africa, Russia was able to develop within 3 days. When they receive the, necessary orders, they develop the markers at testers. So now, and send a bunch of them to Uganda, so Ugandan's doctors can now test to see if this Ebola or something else.
Incredible. In closing, we're almost out of time. It goes so fast. Your snapshot of Israel, they're not even hiding it. Not Netanyahu, not Ben-Gavir, not their finance minister, Smotrich. They say, we're taking all of Lebanon. We're going to burn it all down. We're going to kill everybody. It's our playground. It's all ours. I played these before you came on, the clips, for viewers. You want to see that. It'll be posted on Real Alex Jones later. We streamed it live. I mean, these are very provocative statements. They're trying to act like villains to create as much chaos as possible. They're admitting they're sabotaging the peace deals. They signed a deal last Friday with Hezbollah for a ceasefire, violated in 1 hour. Where do you see all this going? Now they're attacking Trump. Their mouthpiece, Mark Levin, is saying, how dare you Republicans bully Israel after everything we've done for them? What the hell is going on? What do you predict comes next? Because obviously things aren't going the way Israel wants, so they're just throwing a giant fit.
Well, the question is whether Israel can economically sustain to do it by its own. Now, it's only exists there because of American help. Military, technological. Yes, Israelis also contributed a lot with their, you know, innovation. But overall, the country with a, 10 million population, really overstretching itself and trying to control way more territory than they can, afford to. So what is the future? I guess for Israeli to exist as a state, they need really to come to their senses, eventually, decide, because it's really democratic state. They need to choose, the leadership, which will not bring their existence to the end. And listen, very simple. Israelis is only one country in the world allowed to have the nuclear weapons, but not to be part of non-proliferation treaty. They never allowed any inspectors, and they never admit that they have weapons, but they often use the threat of these weapons like an ultimate, revenge. Now, what they're going to do? They want to occupy entire Lebanon, occupy almost all Syria, part of Iraq, Jordan, part of the Egypt, and part of Saudi Arabia. Well, look, the reality is such that geography will determine their, position. This is 10 million of the Israeli population in total against at least 100 million Arab population surrounding them. Now, they also try to declare war to the, threatening Turkey that they would be next target after the Iran. They start to launch the attack of Iran, despite they never been sharing even border with Iran. So this is really very, very aggressive policies, which is basically based because this is like a small bully going and having a big bully behind him. And whenever happens, he always runs and said, that man tried to offend me. Go and, hit him hard. But sooner or later, this would be over. And I doubt that then the Israel would be able by itself find the balances or to reestablish a proper relation with the countries of the region.
Well, and let me just throw this out at you, too. Israel, in their official statement, says they're going to take at least southern Lebanon. They're already saying they're going to build houses on it and settlements. But then they say to the UN and the U.S., no, we'll leave Lebanon when all the underground bunkers and tunnels are destroyed. There's no way to ever prove that. So now they've just said we're staying there forever. This is outrageous.
It's not outrageous. Look what they do with the Palestinians, what they did with the Gaza. And just recent news, when I was reading that apparently the statistics, how many killed in Gaza Palestinians, way more or bigger than it was officially declared. So this is a really genocide if you consider it, because you're coming to territory and you, without letting them any humanitarian assistance, without allowing them to escape, you're just exterminating them because you are want to clean that territory from the Palestinians. The same true for the West Bank when they already encroach and basically put illegal settlements on the land which is initially reserved for creation of independent Palestinian state. And look, since Israel never wanted really to sign an idea, two-state solution, where they would allow the creation of Palestine as an independent state, and then, establish a normal neighbor relation and eventually, live and work together in some kind of the harmony and the peace. Well, instead of this, Orthodox Jews at this extremist organization who deciding, no, we go and do these illegal settlements. They go, they destroy the...
Sure, and we're almost out of time. So how do you see it currently ending? Not well for Israel. The whole world's turned against them. Just in summation, this has been a major miscalculation by Israel, and we got to worry about false flags. Because now Israel's leaders are saying, ooh, we need another 9/11 to make America get behind us, as we've been saying. That's one of their only cards left.
Correct. Well, that's what another problem, because now the Israeli factors are not only influencing American policy, it's becoming a key problem in American politics. Because I think American people only can decide what decision they're making. Yes, like any nation, they can have their proper friendly relation with any country. But in this case, when Israelis openly basically bragging that they're controlling America, this is a real signal for concern. And first of all, Americans should be worried and ask the question why it's happening. Well, again, history also gives us a proper lessons. In the sense, if the nation cannot establish themselves within their neighbors and coexist, at least, I'm not telling that they must, you know, love each other, but coexist more or less peacefully, it's always end either this nation would be gone into history, or, you know, otherwise there is no solution. So for Israelis, I think it would be improper now continue the same policy.
Well, that's right. Israel's saying we're not going to get along with neighbors. We're going to dominate them and even take over Turkey and Egypt. Total insanity. 1 minute left. 2 weeks ago, you said it, and last week you said it. You said Starmer will be gone. He is gone now. They're bringing in one of his deputies that's almost as bad. But overall, I see that as a victory because he's been key in NATO keeping the war going. 60 seconds on Starmer.
Well, Starmer gone, but believe me, new Starmer, not better than the old one. It's another, eventually, representative of the Labour Party who's going to push the same policy for the war and conflict with Russia. I think the old mayor of the city in England, who most probably would be a
Manchester.
New prime minister in Britain, will continue the same policy. Nothing would change.
But overall, Starmer had to go, and that just shows how unpopular they are. That party will soon be out of power. That is the good news. Real Victor Boot on X, at Real Victor Boot. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right, Tucker Carlson is coming up. That's real analysis, folks. That's highbrow stuff. Listen, we're listener-supported. The products are insane. I only sell you something that really works. I set out about a year and a half ago with Bigley. I said, make something even better than TurboForce. It's time to upgrade it. TurboForce was a fan favorite. 10-hour clean energy, vitamins, nutrients, minerals, super compounds. Ultimate power, energy, focus, blood flow, and endurance. It is a pre-workout, post-workout, energy, you name it. It is incredible. Super concentrated, 30% off, back in stock, sold out for 3 or 4 months. Ultimate power, back in stock. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we're running the summer kickoff super sale for 2 weeks. Every 3 days, one of our best-selling supplements will be buy one, get one free. And right now, you can buy one ultra-methylene blue, the very best out there, and experience the best methylene blue. Skips oxidation processes in the mitochondria, supercharges you, clean energy, no letdown. So good for your whole body, your vision, your clarity, everything. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on the best iodine, tri-iodine deal, up to 50% off. It's all at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But ultimate power, nobody has got a pre- or post-workout or just energy drink like this. No letdown, feels so good, time-released. All of these superfoods, all these super nutrients, it would take so long to go over. But look, we have the big U.S. third-party testing firms, absolutely cleanest product out there, overhead shot. It's got all of these incredible super nutrients in there. Blow that up. I can't even pronounce a bunch of these. I mean, it's just got everything in it, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for you. The L-theanine, the alpha GPC. I mean, it's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com and the best water filtration systems and more. All right. Hey, look who just connected. Let's punch it up. The Tucker Carlson Network right there on screen. And soon, Tucker will be joining us. Hour number 3, just 120 seconds away. Stay with us.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price, price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Tucker's connected. He's coming up at 6 after. Going to cover massive news, break a lot of news. Says leaving the Republican Party, what comes next? Share those live feeds at Real Alex Jones right now on rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. But our crew's put out some great videos dealing with the atrazine in the water and what's happening, the frogs and all the rest of it. And it's hilarious, but it's also at many levels true. All the best satire is. So this is some of the great work of one of our great editors, Reese. Dealing with what's in the water supply and how you should filter your water with the best water filtration, thealexjonesstore.com. So here's both these hilarious ads back-to-back. The Tucker Carlson joins us.
Hi, folks. I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O.
Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government
introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at AlexJonesLive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, AlexJonesApp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Fortune tanto vulnera, si latibus obsedis. Fortune amici vulnera, sutra difrepedis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We're now into the third hour of this June 23rd Tuesday transmission. And Tucker Carlson is our guest for most of the hour. And I got to tell you, I don't gush over other guests. Tucker, you know, woke up from kind of being under neocon brainwashing 15 years ago. He was right about every other major policy, American patriot, kind of libertarian. But I've seen the process of him getting totally informed into levels even beyond much of my information on the globalist and the different power structures. And then the courage he has had to try to stop in the last year and a half going to full war with Iran, how vindicated he is, and many of us as well. But he particularly being called the new Hitler by all of the different neocon organizations, the powerful Israel lobby, who is openly in the NDAA trying to take over our military. Mark Levin talking about the beautiful marriage of our militaries and what is in Section 224. I mean, this is insane how brazen and crazy it is. You know, I know Tucker and I, up until about a year ago, we mainly focused on China trying to take over, or the EU, or the left. And certainly those are big power blocks. But wow, what a time to be alive, Tucker. I know you don't talk about yourself, but man, you've got a lot of courage, buddy, because you're taking on one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, mafias in the world.
Well, I don't think it's courage. I mean, courage is when you're afraid of something and you do it anyway. And all of us face that. And, you know, I'm always impressed by that. I'm not afraid at all. I don't know what I would be afraid of. I've just reached the age where I'm just not afraid. And the criticism of me is just not rooted in reality. I mean, if you were to criticize, as I always say, and I always think to myself, if you criticize someone in a way that's true, it's very hurtful. But if you say something that's like self-evidently ludicrous, it has just no effect at all. I mean, it's a pillow fight at that point. I'm not a hater. I don't hate Jews. I don't even hate Israel. I'm disgusted by what Israel's doing. Israel's gone insane, but lots of countries go insane. Germany went insane in the 30s. America went kind of insane after 9/11. Like, good countries go crazy. Israel has gone crazy. I hope at some point they'll recover. They probably will. Most countries do. And that's not hate. That's just acknowledging reality. And so when people are like, you're a hater, you're a Nazi. No, I'm not, actually. I'm not insecure about it. I don't want to be defensive about it. I don't need to be defensive about it. So none of the criticism has any effect. I don't have any debt. I've got no investors. There's no way to really control what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is not bad. It's true. And it's animated by the spirit of truth. And I think by love. I want it to be animated by love. So like, no, it's been a really light lift. The only really upsetting thing is A, what's happening to other people, including you, where you had, you know, agencies of the federal government take your business away, slander you. They literally took InfoWars away from you with the help of, I think, the Justice Department. Like, that's shocking. Nobody defended you. So that's, I mean, as an American, that's extremely distressing to watch. By the way, congratulations for not being killed. You're still here doing a show. Thanks to Rumble. Amen. And the other upsetting thing is what's happened to Trump. Now, just to be clear, I'm really happy that he's accepted the loss. I'm sad about the loss, but there's nothing we can do, that we don't have any options as a country.
And you tried to avoid the loss and predicted.
He's taking the only available course to him. I think he's being realistic about it. He's pushed back against Israel. I support all of that. Good for him. But I'm sad that we got here in the first place. And as someone who supported Trump and campaigned for him and knew him well, and, you know, that I find that depressing. Really, it's been really depressing, actually. I finally snapped out of it. I feel better. But that's been, it's been a hard winter just to see that. But otherwise, I would say all is well. I feel cheerful.
Well, you more than anybody predicted the strait would be closed, the mullahs wouldn't fall, and it was a disaster. And for that, you got demonized. You got called low IQ. I was honored to be amongst the four people that Trump savaged a bunch. But notice now that we've been vindicated and proven right, that we're still the bad guys, but Mark Levin and all the rest of them are the good guys. Though I did see Trump last week say he's disappointed and lost respect for the Israel hardliners, meaning Netanyahu, because he didn't spoke about Netanyahu and the rest of those guys. What are they going to do now as it dawns on them that Trump is at least for now waking up to the fraud they sold him?
I think Trump, for whatever it's worth, it's my belief, and I haven't talked to Trump since February, so I don't know this, but I believe it. I think Trump knew almost instantly that he'd been had, that he'd allowed himself to fall for this lie that the Iranian government would collapse once we killed the Ayatollah. And when that didn't happen, he instantly blamed Israel. That's my view. And I think that's why he sent the Secretary of State out there to say we followed Israel into this. So I think Trump has known. He tried to bluff his way through it. He tried to intimidate the Iranians. Obviously, it didn't work. I think we're in a really dangerous place right now because Israel is, for the first time maybe in my lifetime, legitimately threatened. And I say this as an opponent of the Israeli government, obviously a fairly well-known opponent of the Israeli government. But I don't want to see innocents die anywhere, including Israel, period. I believe in universal standards. It's always wrong to kill innocent people, including in Israel. So I'm not wishing their destruction, but I think they are in a very tough spot. And the problem for Israel is they've been talking for 50 years, my whole conscious life, about how they're on the verge of being destroyed. And that's always been a lie. But now you have an Iran that is a regional power. It's a global power. And it's not going to go away. And so Israel is in a place where domestically the country's gone crazy. They're convincing themselves that, you know, every crisis is an existential crisis. The only way out is to kill more people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then their great enemy suddenly becomes, paradoxically, ironically, way more powerful than it was when this war started 3 months ago. And so, like, where does that leave the Israelis? By the way, the United States is clearly going to begin the process, hopefully a short process, of distancing itself from Israel. We've got no choice. And they know that. The smart ones know that. So they're in a box, and in general, you don't want to put people in boxes. You don't want to corner them, people or animals, because they do unpredictable things. And so I think Israel's a threat. Israel has one trump card. It's nuclear weapons. And you don't want to put Israel in a position where they feel they have no choice but to use those weapons. I think Israel's always been a lot closer to using nukes than any other country. I mean, we know that because they've said that. And I think they're now closer than they've ever been. So you know, I'm not in charge of anything. I'm just a podcaster. But if I were running the U.S. government, I would, you know, immediately distance myself from Israel, stop paying for their genocide, of course, on moral grounds. But I would also try to calm them down, because if they get too overwrought, you know, really destructive things could happen. That's an absolute possibility. And anyone who says it's not a possibility is lying. It is a possibility. So I would be very concerned. I am very concerned about that.
Well, that was my next question. Is Israel's whipped itself into a frenzy, at least the Likudniks. I know our good buddy Ben Gurvier has been making statements similar to the one Trump made when I said, okay, 25th Amendment Trump, if he really tries this or does this, when he said, right, tonight the civilization of Iran ends forever, never to return. The next day it'll be a smoking or glowing crater, nuclear weapons. He said, tune into Mark Levin. He says what I want to say. Mr. President, do what Harry Truman did. A-bombs, do it, hit them. So we had to come out and say, you know, that's crazy. I did, you did. And we got, you know, called low IQ. Great, who cares? No, we were actually high IQ. We were proven right. Now we hear nuclear talk by Israel. You've got all these horrible people and Israeli spies like Jonathan Pollard saying use nukes, hold us hostage using nukes. What do you now you've got Ben-Gavir last week saying, we're going to burn all of Lebanon. He said yesterday, all of Lebanon is ours. We're taking all of Lebanon. He's more powerful than Netanyahu in many ways. Why are they foaming at the mouth like this? We want Turkey. We want Egypt. Greater Israel. Ben-Gavir looks like he's on 10 hits of ecstasy, like he's hallucinating on a power trip. Classic megalomania. And then this thing just moves forward. And we know Israel tends to double down, especially with the Likudniks. Now we have all these intelligence people and military over there saying, we need a new 9/11 to show America to get in line. Iran's about to do a new 9/11. Oh, yeah, yeah. We know who was heavily involved in 9/11. Clearly, the Likudniks, Israel, along with some of their own elements, bare minimum stand down, Building 7, you know, the bombs in the buildings. So I'm really concerned that all Israel has left is nuclear blackmail and or a nuclear false flag or something like it to blame Iran. I really think that's on the table. What does Tucker Carlson think?
I think you're clearly right. I mean, they're saying it out loud, so we're not guessing. I mean, you just interpret their statements, which need very little interpretation because they're pretty direct statements. And I think they reflect reality. Israel feels that it's out of options other than something extreme. Moreover, this is not the beginning of the story. It's the end of a generations-long story. The buildup has been going for my entire life, and I'm 57, where Israel's solution to all problems outside its borders and often within its own borders is force, is killing people. We haven't killed enough people. That's why we're not at peace. And that's just a fundamental misread of life. Like, that actually doesn't work. It never ends well, ever, for anyone. Just as a practical matter, like, show me where that succeeded. That strategy has succeeded for a nation. It never has, and it never will. So they're under that misperception. The United States has allowed them to effectively govern the region, the Levant, that way, because we've paid for the whole thing and been their main defender, their really only defender on the international stage. And so we've allowed this spoiled child to get increasingly crazy and out of control. And now we're at the point of, you know, very limited options. I think the only thing the U.S. government can do is to try and calm them down. And unfortunately, the one way that Israel is different from other countries is there is this myth, which is like a foundational myth in the country, that all criticism of Israel is blind hate. It's this thing called anti-Semitism. It's the original brain virus. It's always existed. And there's no rational basis to it at all. It's just people hate Israel because they hate all Jews. That's not true, obviously, but I think a lot of Israelis, probably the overwhelming majority of Israelis, believe that. They've been taught that since birth, and it makes them resistant to any kind of correction or advice from anyone else. It's like, well, you're not Israeli. You just hate me. And that's a kind of a dead-end way of thinking, but I do think that I know a lot of Israelis, they really do believe that. But I do think, to the extent the United States government can influence Israel, one is with the stick, which is funding. No mas. We're not going to pay for any more slaughter of civilians in Lebanon or Gaza or the West Bank. But also the carrot, which is, it's okay. Like, it would be helpful if somebody, Marco Rubio is a close friend of Israel, been supported almost exclusively by the Israeli lobby and the Cuban lobby. His entire political career, he's got a million friends there, including the prime minister. You'd think it would be helpful for the Secretary of State and National Security Advisor to go over to Israel and say, let's just tone it down a little bit. There will be a tomorrow. Like, you're talking yourselves into an apocalypse that doesn't need to happen. Like, please, you know, the kind of the helpful outsider offering perspective, you know, when you're some disaster happens in your life and your best friend comes over, your college roommate shows up to have a beer and says, it's going to be okay tomorrow. And that's like the pivotal moment. That's the beginning of recovery. No one has done that for Israel. And I don't know why, because it's in our interest to calm Israel down. Because as you just said correctly, it's not a conspiracy theory. They are kind of out of options other than to do something really crazy where lots of innocents die. And I don't see that, how that's good for anyone.
Well, let's also be clear, and you're the guy that really did the legwork. It's just true. I mean, people think I have energy. You got like three times what I see. It's in, you pop up everywhere. I saw, you know, all the former Mossad chiefs, most of their IDF heads, and they're also on Israeli news all the time. But the vast majority, I mean, like 98% of them, Michael Savage came on 8 months ago. And he's pro-Israel. But he said, I know all these former intelligence heads and generals. They say Netanyahu's going to go for full war. Greater Israel is going to get Israel destroyed. So it's not even like Israel's one monolith, but the Likudniks have been able to stay in control. And you're the guy that went and interviewed dozens of former intelligence heads and generals saying everything you're saying. But there's a news blockade of them on Fox and CNN. And the Democrats have acted like, you know, they're opposing this, but they've really been, you know, bought off by AIPAC as well. So your BB files are everything you do gets viewed. But this should have been some of the most viral stuff you ever did. The BB files are incredible.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think that, well, first I would say that I don't think Netanyahu is the most radical person in Israel. In fact, I think probably in the political class, the ruling political class in Israel, Netanyahu is probably more on the moderate side. So the idea that the problem is Netanyahu is just not true. I wish it were true because it's easily fixable. You just there's going to be an election fairly soon, get a new prime minister, the country calms down. No, the problem is much deeper than that. The problem is so deep, in fact, and this is not speculation, it is true, Mossad, which everyone despises and for good reason, I think, and is afraid of, definitely for good reason, is a moderating force on the Netanyahu government. So, for example, the Israeli strike on Doha, Qatar on September 9th, which was one of the craziest things Israel's ever done, strike America's closest ally in the region during a negotiation. Like, it was so out of bounds that even Trump complained about it at the time. Mossad sat that one out. They did not participate in that strike because they're like, whoa, 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 this is too crazy. Like, you're going to alienate our only remaining ally. But the Netanyahu government, which is not just Netanyahu, it's a coalition. It's a parliamentary system. There's a lot of different parties involved in that coalition. They push this. So what I'm saying is the radicalism on display where you have Israeli cabinet ministers openly calling for genocide, celebrating the murder of children, calling for nuclear strikes, like truly crazy behavior that even the North Koreans don't do. That is like deeply embedded in this ruling party, in the structure that controls the Israeli government. And so I don't really know
They're definitely radicalizing each other. And then Ben-Gavir, every time I see him beating up flotilla people, running around all crazy, making supervillain statements, that's like from a Marvel Comics cartoon or something. And I see this and I was like, if I was trying to destroy my country, I would behave like this, but I guess they've just whipped themselves into like a shark frenzy.
But that's what happens. This is what happened in 70 AD when the Romans, in really like the most vivid example of actual genocide in history. Exactly. The rebels against the Roman Empire. And it began several years before with these series of revolts, but there are a number of different factions, as you said, basically, and it's worth reading about. It was written about extensively at the time. But they radicalized each other. So there was a great deal of division within Jerusalem, like Jewish factions killing each other. Like they were not a united front at all. And partly because of that, they got wiped out by the Romans. But the effect was they couldn't reach any kind of reasonable compromise with the empire. And by the way, they were in a pretty good spot in the empire. They didn't have to have this happen to them, really. But they convinced themselves. And it's not just Jews who do this or Israelis or like lots of people. This is a human thing, by the way. We're all capable of this, in my opinion. But it certainly happened in Jerusalem before, almost 2,000 years ago. And I'm not saying I hope that doesn't happen now, obviously, but it's the same dynamic.
And I'm sure you know this because I've seen you talk about it. I'm in Iraq. Yeah. Harrison Smith, 6 months ago, made a documentary, got tens of millions of views. When I did a show, prompted him to do it, showing dozens of clips of Netanyahu and other leaders saying, Rome beat us 2,000 years ago, destroyed our temple. We see the West as Rome, and that's actually our enemy. And then they write best-selling books about it. You talk about an old beef. So when you said last week, many people in Israel hate Europe, not just over Hitler, they literally see Europe as the original enemy. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I think it's in the Passover prayers.
Yes.
You know, resentment toward Rome, meaning Christian Europe. Of course. I mean, that's what the Bolshevik Revolution was about. It's what a lot of this turmoil is about. And it's not, you know, it's not everyone buys into this nonsense, but some enough people do that it is a factor in history repeatedly. And it's certainly a factor in what's happening in Europe now with, you know, blowing up Nord Stream, the current war. It was very obvious going into this. I said this to the president in February. One of the immediate downstream effects of this will be the degradation, if not destruction, of Europe, both through, you know, if you're successful in toppling the government, there will be a massive migrant crisis into Europe, which will further crush the continent. And even if there's not, there's going to be a massive energy crisis that will affect Europe and Southeast Asia first. And it'll crush Europe. It's the last thing they need. If you want to totally deindustrialize Germany, which is the economic engine of Europe, then this is what you do. Trump knew that going in. The Israelis knew that going in. I don't think that was the main goal, but it was certainly one of the goals, also to hurt the Gulf states. I mean, there are probably lots of goals here. But the hostility toward Europe by Israel is longstanding. It's obvious. For some reason, you're not allowed to say it. I don't know why. It's not an expression of hate to note other people's hate. You're not the criminal for pointing out someone else's bad attitude. They are. But whatever. It's best just ignore the response to it and just tell the truth. There is longstanding animosity between some, not all, but some in Israel toward Europe. And it, because it's never acknowledged, we pretend it doesn't exist, and anyone who notices is a criminal, it's continued for well about 80 years, if not a lot longer, and the effects have been terrible. And by the way, the Europeans are also bent on suicide, so it's not like it's just Israel's been destroying Europe. The Europeans are working really hard to destroy their own continent. But it's a mixture of the two. And we should just be honest about that and every other thing. Because again,
absolutely. We
honesty
have to,
is not hate.
We have to stop being cowed, and the haze or the spell that Israel lobby had over America and the world, I think, is broken. I talked about this. You talked about this a year ago on your show in Florida from the studios there, that your concern is that it gives a lot of oxygen to the real crazy, real Nazi radicals, and that there's going to be some false flags or real attacks on synagogues, and then that will be used to take free speech. Now we've got the Israel lobby operatives calling for anybody to be banned or arrested that criticizes AIPAC because of this UFC plot, which is a classic FBI, a bunch of kids in their basements dreaming and LARPing. They're now using that to say the main threat is going to be attacks on AIPAC people that have accepted money. So we see them positioning the new domestic terror threat to be anti-AIPAC people. That's what I think this whole UFC hype is about. Can you elaborate on that? And I'm really concerned how they're teeing this up, because you predicted that in my interview before last that you did with me. You spent a lot of time on that, and I think that's really starting to bear fruit, unfortunately.
Well, I think it's been inevitable. I've thought that for a long time, that there will be an attempt to eliminate voices critical, not just of Israel or AIPAC, but of the people in power, to eliminate them from criticizing the people in power. But what makes me laugh is that it's always the same. Censorship is always undertaken under the same pretext, which is we're protecting the powerless. Well, the powerless are 100% of the time a proxy for the most powerful. In other words, if you're actually powerless, you have no ability to prevent people from criticizing you, and you never do. In fact, if you want to know who's powerless, look at who's criticized. If you want to see who's powerful and on whose behalf censorship is actually being enacted, look at who you're not allowed to criticize. I mean, this is a very famous axiom, because it's always and everywhere true. And so the idea that just made me laugh when you said, well, politicians who receive AIPAC money are under threat. Well, you just had your business taken away by the federal government, okay? Yeah. A lot of us have been under threat in a real way. That's never acknowledged. I can promise you that some low IQ congressman from Florida who takes money from AIPAC is not under threat in a meaningful way. He has federal security, which we pay for. So the idea that the most powerful, the most entitled people, the most undeserving of the greatest rewards in our society are somehow the real victims makes me laugh every single time. It's like when Michelle Obama or Oprah would always tell you, I'm the victim of racism. It's like, well, let's see, you're an idiot and you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So I think you've done pretty well, you know, all considering, but they were wedded to this idea that actually I'm the weakest, most put upon, most vulnerable person in our society. It's like, that's a sign of unhealth in a healthy society. Sure. The powerful people say out loud, I'm a powerful person. And by acknowledging that, I also take on the responsibilities that the powerful have to the people beneath me. That's why feudalism worked and our current system doesn't. Our current system doesn't work because the most powerful people in the world get to pretend that they're not powerful and therefore shirk the duties of the powerful. You're always going to have powerful people. You're always going to have a hierarchy. But a functioning, healthy hierarchy acknowledges its own existence in a straightforward way and shoulders the burdens that are concurrent with privilege.
Now, explain that. You're talking about the original social contracts of the Enlightenment and how the nobles said no more feudalism. If we really are the best, a rising tide raises all ships. As JFK said, we need to truly build real colleges, real institutions, real libraries, teach people how to read and write, have the Enlightenment, which America was the flower of in 1776, and empower people. Real aristocrats lead the people, are patrons of the people, and instead we have fake aristocrats that are kleptocratic, that try to dumb us down and control us, try to divide and conquer us, and attack the West because it is a competing system of liberty that their globalist transhumanist system will not be able to defeat. And so it's the dumbest elite ever to undermine civilization, to have a bunch of tribal idiots not understanding in the end those tribal idiots will consume themselves and them in the process. Not a very smart elite.
It's not a smart elite, but you can see the allure because any globalized system, any transnational system provides all the benefits and none of the obligations to the people who run it. So in a traditional system, in the world that I grew up in, for example, if you had a housekeeper, you're privileged to have a housekeeper. Most people don't have housekeepers. But if you do have a housekeeper and her kids want to go to college and she can't afford it, you have to pay the tuition because there's not just the benefit, there's also the obligation that goes with it. It was called noblesse oblige, and it was a real principle. It wasn't just some dumb WASP thing. It was an ancient concept. It is the most ancient concept, and it is that loyalty goes both ways. Obligation goes both ways. With benefits come obligation. So it's just a very simple thing, but it's only in a globalized economy, which is what we have, that the people who are reaping the largest rewards can pretend that actually I'm not an elite. I'm not an elite. That's why I wear jeans and a turtleneck. That's why I look like Steve Jobs, right? Because I may run everything, but I don't have to admit that. I'm just like you, except I'm a billionaire who's in charge of your brain. Okay. But they pretend that because if they admit that they're actually plutocrats or oligarchs or they're the rulers of the world, which I wish they would, then all of a sudden it becomes like, well, how can you be making $1 billion in a country with 1 million people living on the street at night using fentanyl? Like that doesn't work. Like you have to do something about that. You have to maybe you don't fix it, but you have to make a good faith effort to try because you have an obligation to the people who made you rich.
And we're talking about,
we're
talking about the social
really
contract.
Created a system that's all upside for them. Yeah. The social contract.
Social contract's been broken and now something new is coming out of that. I want to finish it with Israel and get into your statement about being done with the Republican Party, why you're saying that. I have a lot of questions from viewers that were posted on X. I want to ask you some of those in this precious time we have with you. But since you mentioned Israel playing victim, it's got a whole bunch of nuclear weapons. It's way more wealthy per capita than we are. It's basically using our money, won its wars, but now it is on a delusional power trip saying Greater Israel publicly, all of Lebanon. We can show the map of Greater Israel, but, a whole bunch of Saudi Arabia, a whole bunch of Syria, a bunch of Iraq. This is parts of Egypt, delusional. And then you got Mark Levin in one of his recent shows. When he's not saying, you listen here, Tucker, with your little show, you think we're going to let you operate? You watch, buddy. Well, he sees now you're vindicated and they're now, behind the eight ball. But here he is talking in a brief clip about little Israel and any Republicans not supporting whatever we say to do. You're bullying us while we primary your members of Congress and while we brag, we run your country. Here he is.
I want to say to people in and out of the administration, stop trashing, smearing, bullying the little state of Israel. Stop cozying up to and telling us that the regime in Iran is now more rational, more moderate, and a regime that we can deal with. When just a few months ago they slaughtered 50,000 people, they're still hanging young people today. And if they had a nuclear missile today, they'd fire it into our country as sure as I'm alive. I don't know what's going on, but if people think they can bully a little country, really a people that have existed 4,000 years through the Babylonians and the Persians, through the Romans and the Third Reich, into surrendering their defense and their decision on how to secure their country, they got another thing coming. I think it's outrageous. When we used to see the Secretary of War and the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff daily here on Fox tell us of the fantastic marriage, symmetry between our militaries in defeating this enemy. I'm really appalled by this. And I hope it comes to an end sooner than later. Because it's not right, it's not just, and it's not truthful.
So now if we don't stay in a war they sucked us into, that they started, that they lobbied, we're bullying them. This is ass backwards, Tucker. Then I want to just finish up on Israel dovetailing. The NDAA, the marriage he just talked about of our military and intelligence, the whole nine yards, it's in the Senate intelligence bill as well. And then Netanyahu calls this getting away from our money because they'll co-own our weapons. This is really an attempted Israeli coup through law that's really a treaty, Tucker.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work. And I look at Levin or whatever he calls himself, and I feel sad. I mean, look, the spoiled child always hates his parents. The ones who abetted his grandiosity are always the ones he blames. This is exactly what happens when Christian Zionists tell Israelis they're God's chosen people, they're special in the eyes of God, which is absurd. It's not a Christian understanding of reality. It's just not true. We're all people, all created by God. We're all fundamentally equal in God's eyes, at least at birth, chosen people. It's absurd. But if you tell people like Mark Levin that for their entire lives, they become what a spoiled child becomes, which is this very recognizable combination of fragile, preening, self-hating, hating other people. I mean, that's exactly what you get. And we did that. And we did that by funding Israel, and Israel's supporters in the United States did that by flattering Israel and abetting all of their worst instincts. It's like your kid takes his diaper and smears crap on the wall and you're like, that's art. How do you think that child grows up? You think that kid grows up to be like balanced, well-adjusted?
No, an entitled psychotic.
Exactly. An entitled psychotic. And we did that. And I feel guilty about that. By the way, I didn't do it, but I watched it happen. I said nothing because I don't want to deal with it. But I should have been wise enough to know this is what would result. Of course, we're going to wind up on the brink of nuclear war, right? Of course, because we created this attitude. And of course, they're a threat to us, which they are. That resentment is 100% real. Mark Levin hates the United States for Trump's statement last week.
Well, he said he hates Trump. He said he hates Trump, and you've warned Trump that they hate his guts.
Of course. Now, I told Trump before this started, these are your enemies, and they're luring you into a trap, but whatever. I'm not, I'm a podcaster. I'm not in control.
Well, I know this, and I'm not going to play the clips. I'm sure you've already seen them. I played them in the last few days. At the World Jewish Conference and then at this conference that Levin and Huckabee, where Huckabee says he wants to live in Israel and all the rest of it, and he thinks Trump will fire him any day, they had Gentiles get up and say, I'm a goy, and you're superior, and I'm lucky to serve you. And then Huckabee in another speech is like telling the young Jews, you're the rulers of the world. And then they had the major CEO up say, I'm a goy, and I serve you as your minion, and we must censor everyone that doesn't accept that you're superior. I mean, I'm not obsessed with Jews. But literally the sect of Jews that think they're God now has this cult in our government, and they're coming and licking boots on TV. What the hell is this? Have you seen those clips?
It's exactly, yeah, and it's what happened after the George Floyd hoax. You see these white liberal ladies washing the feet of black, kind of confused-looking black people. Like, what are they doing? What are these white ladies doing? Oh, you're a holy black person. It's like not treating other people as human beings, treating them as demigods, which they're not. They're just people like you and me, telling them they're special. Again, if you tell a child this, the kid becomes a psychopath, as you said. So this is something that we did. And I feel bad about it. But no, they are not the chosen people. I'm not the chosen people, and neither are you. We're people, okay? And we do our best to conform to God's will. People of different religions. But anyone who says God loves us most or only us is deranged.
Well, I mean, and if Michael Jordan...
That's not true.
Exactly. If Michael Jordan, at the peak of his success, he's an amazing person, said, I am the chosen one, I am superior, you'd say he needs to be put in a rubber room. This is bizarre.
I'd say you're a great basketball player. Or I'd say to Israel, it's really cool that you built, you know, I don't know, fields in the desert. Like, Israel's done some cool things. I don't hate everything about Israel. But to tell Israel you can do whatever you want and we'll pay for it, and when other people criticize you, that's their problem. They're the haters. Genocide's okay when you do it, but bad when the Nazis do it. To tell them these deranged things and then finance the whole thing for decades, of course you're going to wind up with Mark Levin and Ben Gavir. Like, what do you think's going to happen?
And
that's
then they
exactly
say,
what we're watching.
Then they say, we'll just come control your Congress even more. And what it is a giant, deranged, psychotic baby with nuclear weapons. And Ben Gavir, I think, is the archetypal Jabba the Hutt, Baron and Harkonnen caricature of that. In the time we have left, I've got a bunch of questions from the listeners that came in on X. Everybody should obviously subscribe to the Tucker Carlson Network, follow your shows, your prolific work. I mean, you are literally the tip of the spear, my friend. This question came in from Pug Holder, and it says, Tucker, you say you're leaving the Republican Party. Will you commit to not supporting J.D. Vance if he runs for president? Well, I mean, I know this a lot better than Mr. Neocon, Israel First, Marco Rubio. Another lady, Dina Ria, says, will he please help us start an American First party? How do we better position 2028? We need someone who actually gives a damn and is willing to make massive changes in the Fed, stay out of endless wars, etc. It seems, unfortunately, like Trump has a stranglehold on the GOP. Seems fruitless. I think that's why you're saying you're leaving. But maybe I'm too pessimistic, says Money Printer. Go, bruh. I got a bunch of other ones. Let me ask you this way. What do you mean by you're done with the Republicans? Obviously, you don't think you're endorsing the Democrats. What are you saying here? Is this like when Joe Kent resigned to draw attention, to get them to course correct? Well, here you are. Yes. What does Tucker Carlson say?
I mean, as usual, I don't have any kind of plan or grand strategy. I've never had that in my life. I was asked a question and I answered it directly. And the question was, can you support this? And of course not. I mean, I can't support the Republican Party in its current incarnation for the same reason I can't support the Democratic Party in its current incarnation. They have the same views. They have the same views on the big questions, on the economy and foreign policy. Trump, over the past year, has been essentially indistinguishable from Chuck Schumer on the big issues. And again, just to restate, the big issues are how do you manage the economy, how you decide who gets the wealth, who doesn't, and how do you manage your foreign policy. Where do you engage? What are your priorities? And on those questions, which are the questions of government, with all respect to the trans debate, okay, those are the big questions, they're in lockstep. And I didn't want that to be true. I thought that Trump was an option to that. I thought he was a third option. I supported Trump in 2024, not because he's a Republican, but because he was not a traditional Republican. That's the whole point. And that's why everyone I know supported Trump, not because he had identical views to the Republican Party leadership. He had very different views. And I thought those were the views that were going to be enacted into law and policy, but they weren't. And instead, the views of Mike Johnson, a person for whom I have no respect at all, those views became dominant, the Mark Levin views. So, like, why would I support that? I would never support that. Why? Because I'm an American and I want what's best for my country. It's that simple. I'm not being paid by anybody. And I'm not being told what to say. I've got a bunch of kids. I want the country to continue in a recognizable way. And I don't think the Democrats' ideas will allow that.
So, and I understand it's just a gut level thing to say, hey, I'm not with this because Trump's with the Republican establishment more than ever.
Yeah, because everyone's imprisoned in this binary. And that's the whole point of it. That's why they emphasize the trans stuff. The trans stuff is insane and it's disgusting. It's anti-Christian. But why do they emphasize it? Maybe they created it for this reason, to create the illusion that there is this massive fight between the parties, when in fact, on the big issues, they are in lockstep. There is no meaningful difference on economics and foreign policy between what this administration has done by and large and by what Chuck Schumer would do were he president.
Sure.
Now, I hope that changes.
Sure, it's like abortion used to be. It becomes a football issue, so they can act like there's something they disagree with. But on the main issues, it continues on. So What are you advising people to do? I mean, still good Republicans that are America firsters, support them. Don't support neocons.
I support good people. And if they call themselves Republicans, that's fine. I'm just saying, or if they call themselves Democrats, that's fine. Try to think clearly. Here's my point, to the extent I have one. Try to think clearly about what's good for your family and good for your nation, and factor out the irrelevant things like party identification or peripheral issues that don't have direct bearing on the future of your kids, and try and think clearly about what your real interests are and who opposes them. And I'm just saying, I don't care how many times he goes on Fox News, Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House from Louisiana, opposes everything that is in your family's interest long term. And that would include territorial integrity, immigration. That would include the strength of the U.S. dollar, the economy. And that would include whether or not your son or grandson gets killed fighting a war for Israel. It's that simple.
I totally agree. So let me ask you this.
I don't know why would we support that? And I don't care what name you call me or what name you call yourself. I'm a conservative Republican. I'm part of the Liberty Pro-Jesus Caucus. Really? Show me how. Like, well, we should demand a little bit more, I think.
Well, I know you fought really hard, and I disagree with something you said about 6 months ago. You said, I apologize for supporting Trump. The first time, he was way better and did a lot of things. We didn't have a bunch of new wars. The second time, you know, he was a rebel. They came after him. He got a lot of good things done. But about four or five months into the new administration, he changed. So you weren't wrong. I wasn't wrong. Starting with the Epstein, the shutting down Doge, and then everything else, you know, these wars. Bovino tried to be nice about it, but he's gone public. Trump killed internal enforcement of immigration and basically put former Democrats from Biden are now being put in to control it. They're even weakening actual border security. Now that's confirmed. And Bovino told me during the break, and later it came out. No, he said on Fox a month later, no, Trump ordered this. So something changed. I know you were talking to him all the time then. The times I've been at your house, hey, I got to go. Trump's calling. He really cared about what you said. He cared about what the founder of TPUSA said, what Charlie Kirk said, but something then changed five, six months in. Do you know what that was?
I don't, but I just want to put an issue out there that I think is of central importance. It's never mentioned, and that's the racism against whites, the institutional racism against whites in the United States. Where if you're a white man, it's harder to get a job, a federal contract, or college admission. And that's factually true. It's proven, not just statistically proven by disparate impact, but proven by document requests delivered in lawsuits. We know for a fact this is happening. And DOJ has done basically nothing to fix it. And so that's like a core question. Can the U.S. government, can our biggest institutions commit open racism against the people whose ancestors built this country? And yes, they can. It's one of the main reasons people supported Trump. It's one of the main reasons I supported Trump. Not because I'm like a white nationalist. I'm not.
It's discrimination.
Because I don't believe in institutional racism against
for those that don't know whose country it is.
I mean,
major universities are still saying no white men apply even with high grades. Major companies are still doing it. But during the Biden, 94% of hires were not white men. I mean, there is a war on white men. Everybody sees it. And thank God, I know you've got to go in a few minutes, but I've got to ask this question. I believe you when you say it. I know you hate D.C. I know you love Florida. You love Maine. Been to both places. Beautiful. I don't blame you. But a lot of Republicans have claimed, look at him in Polymarket. He's like the third most popular person, not even announcing. Do you want to put the rumors to bed here? You're not planning to run for president, or are you?
Of course I'm not planning to run for president. I mean, of course. I've never said or done anything that would suggest I have an interest in political office, because I don't. I never have had an interest in political office ever. It's just not kind of what I do for a living. It's not what I'm interested in. I really don't like politicians. One of the things I regret, and I've always liked Trump, I'll just say personally, I don't know why, because he's hilarious.
Maybe he's funny, yeah. Why.
And there are a couple other, he's very funny. There are a couple others I like.
Well, will you support J.D. Vance? I think he's great compared to Rubio.
Obviously, he's great compared to Rubio. Obviously. Look, I'll support the best person. I always have liked J.D. Vance enormously. I think he's really smart. He's in an impossible situation. I think he's doing his best. I strongly disapprove of, obviously, as I've said 100 times, of this war and of what.
Oh, I love how Trump and others have been blaming Vance when he's volunteering to go stop it, when internally it's confirmed he tried to stop it just like you did. I love how the guy that was right, he's the bad guy now, and the war's his fault.
It's the people who tell the truth who are punished. It's the people who try to do for selfless motives the right thing who are punished. I mean, that's what evil is. But anyway, a system that consistently punishes people for telling the truth rather than lying, consistently punishes the virtuous and lets Jeffrey Epstein skate. I mean, by definition, that's an evil system. And so I would say the upside of this moment is clearly the current system is going away. Obviously, it doesn't work and everyone hates it. So we're getting a new system of some kind. I hope it's not too radical. Hope people don't get hurt during the transition, but it's going to happen. And I don't mourn that because this is not working. This is not working. Any system that produces like Pete Buttigieg as a presidential candidate and the Iran war, like that's not a system that is going to govern my grandkids.
Well, you said God would have to appear to you for you to run to president. So should we all pray that Jesus appear to you and tell you to run for president?
Oh. I don't want to run for president. I do want to be involved in offering an option of some kind. I don't know what that would look like, but it's not democracy when no matter who you vote for, you get the same result.
Tucker, Gavin Newsom, you know you'd beat Marco Rubio. You need to run for president. It's just like a gladiator.
If the options are Gavin Newsom and Marco Rubio, I know Trump is very convinced that Gavin has his shot. And Gavin has an advantage in that he's a sociopath who will say anything while passing a lie detector.
And he can talk unlike Kamala.
Oh, he can talk. Oh, he can talk. And by the way, Marco is an underrated talker. He's an excellent talker.
Oh, yeah.
Speaks without notes. But both of those guys, I mean, come on. Is that really the option? If that's the option, I mean, then again, it's more evidence that the system is not. The last thing I'll say is the core problem that this country faces is not that it has elites. Every country does and needs them, by the way. Someone needs to run things. It's that the system that we have in place to produce elites produces instead mediocre conformists, wholly lacking creativity, terrified, weird,
stagnant,
easy to control, stagnant. It is not producing impressive people. And every empire is the same in this one regard. When its system fails to produce a leadership class capable of running this huge thing that the ancestors built, then it collapses. And so we need to fix that, like, immediately. And the first thing to do is stop discriminating against white men. You know, they built all of this in the first place. They have a pretty good track record, so knock it off. Give them a fair shot.
Finally, there are silver linings. We know they're putting a guy in just as bad, but it shows how unpopular they are holding on by parliamentary manipulation. Freedom and liberty is growing. It's a wave the elites are having trouble suppressing. What do you make of Keir Starmer, particularly nasty creature, having to resign?
I mean, I guess it's good in that it's always good to see people who deserve to be punished. But I mean, your question kind of provides the answer. It's not, we're just going to get, these are replaceable figures is the truth, whether it's Rishi Sunak or Keir Starmer, Macron, or Justin Trudeau. I mean, they're all kind of the same thing. Chrystia Freeland. I mean, they're all like these kind of cookie cutter robots is too strong, but not quite too strong. I mean, they're not people who are making decisions on their own. They don't have agency. They're not actually leaders. They're employees. And so there will be another employee, and maybe he'll be a little more subtle in his contempt for the people he leads, but it's going to be the same brand. And so you need major change. And again, I'm against revolution. I'm totally opposed to violence and hurting innocents, but we're moving toward something radical here because the system is unable to respond to the demands and the needs of the people it leads. And it can't even acknowledge its own failures. It just like lectures people. Oh, you're an anti-Semite if you don't like it. No, I don't think I am.
Yeah.
I think you suck. I think that's the problem. You know what I mean? It's like it's Ceausescu who's on his way to being executed, starts lecturing the executioner. Like that you get in this mindset where you cannot show any flexibility at all or any introspection.
Well, that's right.
Certainly no, you can acknowledge culpability for your crimes. And that's like,
they never
a bad
even
place
debate
to be.
Us.
That never ends well.
They never even debate us. So I just want to make this clear. And now you got to go. I want to be clear. I understand that it's not a thing with you. It's courage. It's a mission. You're not afraid. You're committed. So am I, because it just feels right. It's what makes your soul good. And we're people of the people, and we're Americans, and we know we're doing the right thing. But at the same time, I know you're not a drama queen, but people need to understand, people need to celebrate champions that tell the truth and reach people all over the world, not just here. And you're loved all over the world. You are the most prominent person in the world when it comes to media and into intellectual and cultural discussions. You're influential everywhere. And so you're right up there, you know, with Trump and a few other people. And, you know, I've been somewhat influential for many years as well. And I just sleep better at night. And I'm so proud of the work you're doing. And everybody should support you at the Tucker Carlson Network. They should become members there. They should boost and promote everything you're doing because you're the antidote to the poison out of all these other prominent people. And so I just, I can care less about Hollywood people and care less about galas and care less about status. But I'm really proud of the fact that we're friends and that we've been able to work together, Tucker. And I just salute you and go in Godspeed because we are behind you and we appreciate you having the will and the determination because I know you worked hard at Fox and everywhere else and did a great job, but to see you just take it level up has been an inspiration to me. And when nobody in any major media capacity was defending me being censored and attacked, you consistently did it. And I know you talked to Elon and helped him bring me back to X and the rest of it. So you've been a guardian angel and I owe you a lot. And so does America and the world. So Tucker Carlson, thank you so much and God bless you. And I salute you.
God bless you. Thank you. That was really nice. Thank and undeserved, but thank you, Alex. Great to see you, man. Congrats.
All right. I'll do a Tucker laugh. I can't do it.
It's too demented. Sorry.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, brother. Thanks.
Thank you. See ya.
That was amazing. I can't do a Tucker imitation. I can do almost anybody. I can't do that laugh because it's a real laugh. All right. We're going to start the next hour. I got a ton of news. You know, I'm going to air that little 20-minute documentary. It's gotten like 22 million views on X, like 30 million views other places. The Eight Front War. You need to see the Israelis say, not all of them, but the leaders. America's our, not just Europe is the new Rome. We're the new Rome. And I mean, this is like crazy. Like as if my ancestors from Germany and England and Scotland and Ireland had anything to do with burning up the temple and Titus. I mean, please. I mean, what the hell? So that's all coming up. Hey, listen, next hour coming up for all the Tucker fans, please follow what we're doing. Spread the word. We got almost all the audience when they shut down InfoWars over, a lot of new audience. But I want to explode. I want to hire more reporters, more crew. That takes word of mouth to reach more people. And follow us on Rumble at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. That's the new home. 800,000 followers there on X with 4+ million followers at Real Alex Jones, the backup channel for the network at AJN Live. And, of course, the new news site with all the video feeds and audio feeds is all free. Articles, everything's there. Our great reporters, our great crew, our great writers, alexjoneslive.com. Please get your email list, your text message list. It's an information war. Please do that. And just understand that this is a fight to the death. And I'm under attack. Tucker's under attack. I know that if I'm under attack, he's under much greater level attack. So pray for Tucker Carlson, because believe me, there's a good chance the old Mossad boys or somebody else might come after him. But Tucker's committed to God. He's committed himself into God's hands. It's the real deal. We've talked a lot privately, and so pray for him and pray for us as well. The fourth hour is about to begin. And please remember, I'm funded by selling you products that really work. If you'll just get our methylene blue until Wednesday night at midnight, it's buy one, get one free, because I want you to try it. You, 5-star reviews. You've seen all our guests take it and go crazy how good it is. Instant, 30 minutes, energy hits. No letdowns. It isn't an energy thing. It does this oxidization that cleans out the cells and the mitochondria. You've got the best water filtration systems, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, limited edition, 250th anniversary, incredible designs of T-shirts, ball caps, everything else at thealexjonesstore.com. And let me grab these. Here's a few of the new hats that came in. I mean, look at this. Double muskets from the Revolutionary War in 1776. This is a redneck deluxe. I designed. I absolutely love it. It's obnoxious. Got really clean stuff like leather patch, made in the USA, black hat. I mean, there's so many great designs at thealexjonesstore.com. 33% off on all the t-shirts and all of the apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. But the summer kickoff super sale goes for 2 weeks every 3 days. One of our best-selling supplements will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's the bestseller, Ultra Methylene Blue. And we've got the water filters coming in next week. You can pre-order those now. They'll be sold out for a month. The very best gravity-fed filters, beautiful stainless steel. Nobody comes close to these. Stuff that's even close, like $100 more. We're not a lot of markup here. This cuts out all the forever chemicals, all the garbage. Get yours now while you can at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share the live feeds right now at Real Alex Jones on X and on Rumble at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Who came along for the ride? Hey,
don't forget who runs the New World Order. The old snake, the old serpent, the old dragon. El Diablo, the devil.
It's heaven coming on its end.
Hollywood,
Babylon.
Hollywood, Babylon.
Where Santa's monster design.
Missing out on this powerful piece one of our crew members Dan put together. And it's all Hollywood doing their Satanism right in your face.
Hey, you can't come and die. Where do the sinners sound? The opposite. It's heaven coming on its end.
Did you hear Tucker Carlson agree with me? Since Israel says so, they may stage a new 9/11. That's kind of a big deal. By the way, I'm going to give different cuts of that interview headlines during the next break. We'll be posting it at X and on Rumble, but you don't need to wait for me, ladies and gentlemen. This show belongs to you, free to air, non-exclusive, licensed to the world. Anything I say, do, the shows, everything. That was my one contract thing with the new owners is this is free to air. And the world can use it however they want. They said, absolutely, that's our goal as well. And that's always what I did at InfoWars. That whole archive belongs to the public, belongs to the world. That's yours as well. Because they want to shut up what we've said in the past because it's not evergreen. Evergreen just means it stays pertinent. Like The Godfather, Part 1, never gets old. Apocalypse Now, never gets old. Even stuff like Ben-Hur, never gets old. You know, those are evergreen movies. Tale of Two Cities, evergreen. Christmas Story, evergreen. This broadcast isn't evergreen. It's ultra green is a term I came up with, meaning it gets better over time. And I thought that's not a good term to coin. You know, people picked it up. It's infinity green. Oh, my God. Pew is very respected. So's Gallup. Pew had Trump at 30 points in confidence in him on the economy and the war. It's now at 23% confidence. Look at Drudge. Print that for me, folks. This is what Mark Mitchell was saying a year ago when they got rid of Musk and all that. He went from 56 in the polls where they oversampled Democrats, with probably 60-something, 62 or so, down to the mid-40s, and then the war and all the rest of the crap and statements like, I don't care about Americans, any of their financial problems, and I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. I'm like, red alert, red alert, red alert. And all the white pillars, shut up, boys. Q, 90 trillion, quadrillion chess. Hillary's in at Guantanamo Bay with the Easter Bunny. And now Trump's trying to pull out 4 months out from the midterms. How many months are we? June's almost over. So July, August, September, October, November. 5 months. 5 months. A five, a one, a two, a three, a four, a five. Guys, do the calculations for me. Gals. We got a gal in there. How many days until the November election? All right, I got a ton of news and a special documentary and more coming up today. I'm Alex Jones, your host. It's 132 days, 10 hours, 55 minutes. 19 seconds countdown to the midterms. Yeah, that's our new countdown. Stay with us, Paul Revere's, and remember, share those live feeds now. Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on tri-iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat, high quality, with a nice leather patch, made in the USA. Just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, the concept. 1776, Redneck Deluxe. I mean, that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good-looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
Time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder, another world, another time, his land was green and good, until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Numbers under Biden, they blocked all crime statistics out of cities, over 800 cities and towns, and then said crime actually went down 0.2%. It actually exploded. Our own reporter got killed last year by gangbangers. And every day, without even looking, that's a key term, I literally see hundreds of videos of black people shooting, stabbing, raping, killing white people. It's the same thing in Europe. And it's not the majority of black people, but it's a certain subsect of young men. And don't worry, I noticed some white guys shooting people too, and we got some of that. We'll show you that. But I almost don't even want to get to this because I don't want to play 100 of these clips. I mean, it's like if I don't cover it, then I'm not. It's like if I cover only a little bit of it, I'm almost covering it up. It's so horrible. They had 70-something people shot in Chicago last week. More than a dozen died. And whether you're in Los Angeles or whether you are in Chicago or even Houston, I got videos where gangbangers come to people's doors, Hispanic ones. I mean, it's Hispanics and whites doing it too. And they're like, hey, what gang are you in? Oh, we just live here. We're not in a gang. Okay. And they just spray the house with bullets. So Tucker brought this point up about the crime wave and the rest of it. And then Cash Patel wants to act like they're doing a great job. And they have increased a lot of the human trafficking busting. They have been busting a lot of drug dealers and gangbangers. I'm not taking credit away that they've ramped up. I mean, they've like tripled arrest of criminals and gangbangers. But it's already so out of control in the cities with the blue city mayors and the prosecutors that are Soros and the Soros judges. I mean, I got an article here, a video, where the guy had been arrested 70-plus times. That number keeps coming up. 70-plus shot last week. 70-plus times in Chicago. I mean, robberies, beating people, everything. And then, oh, good, he went out and just killed somebody. Big surprise. How do you get arrested 70 times for crimes and your ass isn't in prison? Because they're black. There are white criminals running around out there, but the difference is they get their asses thrown in jail for a long time. So they're not out doing it. And they admit with these Soros judges, they literally say, oh, well, you're black or Hispanic, we're letting you go. That's why in Austin they've had in just the last 6 years since Jose Garza, the horrible Soros finance elected DA, who's admitted communist, a tripling of runaways. The majority of people that shoot up a building or shoot people or rob a bank, and then now when they're being chased by the cops, they run and shoot at the cops, and then they let them out. Holy smokes, it's been confirmed that a man in Chicago who set a woman on fire had 72 arrests, not the initially thought 49. Oh, it's 49, it's okay. Judge, I can't put everyone behind bars just because the state attorney asked me to. I mean, and by the way, you know these black criminals, which are the highest offending level. There's whites doing it and Hispanics. It goes blacks, Hispanics, whites. But then you see the news. Whites are committing record crimes. Oh, whites are hunting down Asians. It doesn't really even exist. It's black on Asian. And then much of the black community knows this and is being fed on by it and is totally upset and supportive of people pointing this out. But you've got also these leftist blacks and Black Lives Matter blacks that literally talk about how they're victims. Well, yeah, victims of your own criminals and victims of these DAs. You know 9 out of 10 black people that get killed by a black person. Remember, there's 60-plus percent whites, 13% black, only half that's men. So you got 6.5% are men. And of that, 14 to about 25 commit most of the crime in the black community, and they commit over half the violent crime in the country. About 3% of the population. And I don't bring that up to be mean to black people. The vast majority of black people aren't doing that. And the other difference is white criminals get thrown behind bars so they can't do it. I was looking at numbers out of different states. Like in California, a white murderer usually serves 25 years in prison. A black murderer, 5 years. And then you see these talk shows, black people, oh, we're discriminated against in court. They throw the book at us. Maybe in some time in history that was the case. It sure as hell ain't now. I see it all the time where some crazy black guy who's like 18 years old shoots a bunch of black people and he's out the next day with no bond. And I mean, I can show you 100 videos I saw today, just yesterday today, of just black people randomly walking up and beating white people. It's like, what the hell is this? And I'll tell you, if I was walking down the street or I pull up at a gas station, I'm gassing my car, if 10 white dudes came over, which is super rare, but I guess it happens sometimes, and started pummeling me and I'm outnumbered, I'm going to pull my gun out and start shooting people. Because that's better to be tried by nine than carried by six. And if it's 10 black people or five, I'm going to blast your ass. So don't bring your fist to a gunfight. Now, one guy starts a fight or two, you know, even though I'm 50-something, I can still stand up for myself. There's no weapons come out. You're going to we'll throw fists. You'll get your ass beat. Now, I'm not going to look for it. I'm smart enough. People want to fight. I'm going to try to get in my car and lock the door. I'm not looking for trouble. But if you're looking for it, you came to the right place. But notice you don't have in southern areas or right-wing areas the same crime statistics because the thugs know if they go up and just start messing with some good old boy who works for the telephone company in his truck trying to go get a hamburger, you're going to get holes in you. You're going to get killed. Maybe I shouldn't even play these clips. I mean, what's the point? I just, everybody knows about it already. But here's the thing. I don't talk about this to be mean to black people. I talk about this so we can pay attention to it and stop the brainwashing of young black men to believe this is normal and good. And also, because I'm tired of hearing white men commit the majority of criminal activity. It's not true. It's not true. Oh, I've saw like 10 new videos. These are compilations of just white women being beat up by black men, young black men. It's like, you know, pregnant women, women in baby carriages, black women beating up women. I mean, it's like because the media says white people have done all these bad things. White people are out to get you. I saw a video. It turns out this woman does this all the time. Middle-aged black lady, and she's at a grocery store line. This is just out today. And there's these, you know, middle-aged, you know, overweight, goofy, you know, nice-looking, you know, old white people. And they're just sitting there. And she calls the police on them and says, they tried to go past me. And then the witnesses go, no. After she checked out, she backed her cart into them because they moved forward. And the woman just gets her stuff and goes another register. And it's just like, what is this? Like, you can tell these people are like blue collar. You think an old fat guy, an old fat woman, if you're like live in some palace and get money off black people? I mean, by the way, here's another statistic, because they don't teach this, you know, in the media and the culture and all these movies where it's constantly showing white people abusing black people in these dramas and shows that creates that illusion. You know, the top nine richest per capita, meaning largest number of people. I mean, the richest people in the world are Jews on average. Half the billionaires in the world are Jewish. I'm not saying it's bad to be wealthy. I'm just saying that's a fact. But if you take out rich billionaire Jews, the top nine richest groups are all Asian. Then it's Arabs. Then it's white people. Then it's Hispanics. And then it's black people. But I know plenty of black people that have businesses and success and are living in much nicer houses than I am. And I don't think it's weird. Like, how those black people get a big house and a nice car? They work hard. I mean, I don't sit there if I want some really good southern cooking. We call it that down here. Up north, they call it soul food. They think only black people eat chicken fried steak and collard greens and sweet potatoes. I'm getting hungry. And stuff like that. But it's called southern cooking down here. And if I'm over in the areas of Austin and have the black southern cooking, I go in there and they're great, nice black people and they make money and I get great food because they make some of the best southern cooking. Now, if you got to do a poor man's, because I was working late last night and I was out taking care of an errand after I didn't get home till like 11. There was a Cracker Barrel, and Cracker Barrel's okay. The food's okay. It's quick service. But I went in the Cracker Barrel at like 9 o'clock at night. And you know who I was in there with? Mexicans, black people, and white people. We were all getting along. And but see, Northerners, it just shows how retarded it is. Nothing against Northerners. They think it's like weird to eat black-eyed peas. They think it's weird to eat collard greens. They think it's weird to eat cabbage. They think it's weird to eat chicken fried steak. They think it's weird to eat fried chicken. Remember Bill Clinton famously in Georgia like 10 years ago served fried chicken to the homeless, and it was, oh, my God, it's racist. Some were black. Newsflash to Northerners. Newsflash to yuppies that live in high towers. Everybody eats fried chicken down here. Fried chicken's good. It's delicious. Getting hungry. But it just shows how rich. We're fighting over fried chicken and watermelon. Newsflash. Everybody eats watermelon down here because it's good. So we're taught there's all these differences. At the end of the day, there's not. We got the same jobs, the same stuff. The difference is there's a bunch of black people that have been taught to have chips on their shoulders. And the black people that learn not to have that, they go at the top. Hard working, smart, boom. Whatever the business is, you go all over the place. And the managers, the folks that are in charge are black people. But it's not DEI. It's not at some college. Because I also went by Cabela's last night, some ammo. And there was a really nice manager, black guy from Louisiana. He knew all about the guns, all about the ammo. We got to talking about stuff. And the white guys working for him didn't feel bad because the guy knew everything. It was really helpful. And he was running around as the whole manager of the guns and ammo department, helping all these people. And you could see, oh, that they're all very helpful. Great service. That guy's the manager because he's really competent, well-spoken, and knows all the stuff. I'm like, I don't want to buy any ammo or, you know, guns or anything from this black man. I want a white person over here. No, I thought, well, you know, this guy's really nice. The guy knows what he's talking about. And he was trying to sell me guns and stuff. Hey, don't you want some of this? I'm like, no, I'm getting some of these accessories over here. But the point is we're just people, folks. But whites can't live in this guilt. We have to address the guilt and say, I'm not guilty. I'm not your slave. I'm not going to do what you say. When the globalist programmers try to manipulate us, bowing down teaches some of the younger, dumber black people and others that when we bow down, Black Lives Matter, that it's this magic power. And now their whole world is about using the magic power like Jussie Smollett did, making stuff up, or Bubba Wallace. Oh, look, it's a noose by the garage. No, it's a little tie to pull the son of a bitch down. All right, I'm ranting. It doesn't even matter, does it? Let's play a few of these. Here's Fox. It's been confirmed that the man in Chicago who set a woman on fire had 72 arrests. I don't give a damn whether this guy's black, purple, green, polka-dotted, or rainbow-colored. Once you've hit about, 10, 15 arrests, a bunch of them carjacking and robbery, I mean, I think two or three of those you ought to be in jail for 20 years, right? How the hell do you get 72 arrests, dozens of them for violent stuff? I mean, that's crazy. You ever hear about a white guy with 72 arrests? No. Because by the fourth or fifth bad one, your ass is gone. And the left knows exactly what they're doing. They're destroying society. They're telling certain groups, you got to get out of jail free card. Here's a clip.
Prosecutors say he lit a woman on fire aboard a train. Meanwhile, there are growing questions about why he was back out on the streets despite a rap sheet reportedly going back to the early 90s. Mike Tobin is live in the Windy City with more. Hi, Mike.
And Dana, Lawrence Reed will be once again before the judge today, this time to determine if he will be held behind bars before he goes to trial. And that really is the backbone of this case. On Monday, he was out walking the streets despite a pending case for allegedly knocking a woman out, able to ride the L train where a woman was set on fire. Now, we have a statement from her family through Cook County Health. It's a pretty simple statement. They say, we'd like to thank everyone for their prayers and well wishes as our daughter receives care for her injuries sustained earlier this week. We're also grateful for the excellent care and support of the burn team at Stroger Hospital. It goes on to the family to say the family will not be providing any more updates. Now, the criminal complaint against Reed says he went to a gas station, filled a plastic bottle with gasoline. The images get brutal here, so brace yourself. 20 minutes later, he was on the Blue Line train, dumped the gasoline on the woman's head. She ran, but he chased her down with the flaming remnants of the bottle and set her on fire. Mayor Brandon Johnson's message is that violence on public transit is not widespread.
Look, my responsibility is to build the safest, most affordable big city in America. The investments that we are making are certainly moving us in that direction. This is an isolated incident. I mean, I don't see this as some sort of trend.
We've tracked down more than four dozen of arrests of Lawrence Reed since 1993. Nine of them were for felonies, yet he has served just over 2 years behind bars. Most recently, he was charged with aggravated assault for knocking out a social worker. The state's attorney requested pretrial detention, but Judge Teresa Molina Gonzalez denied him the request and put him on electronic monitoring. The website CWB Chicago reports that at that detention hearing, Judge Molina Gonzalez said, "I can't put everyone behind bars or keep everyone in jail just because the state's attorney has asked me to." So we'll find out later today if a federal judge will indeed keep him behind bars. Dana, back to
you. Mike Tobin, let's.
This was supposed to be a joyous time. Neighbors say many people had gathered to celebrate Juneteenth when things took a violent turn.
Surveillance video capturing what appears to be a barrage of gunfire. Shortly after, you see people running for cover. Chicago police were called to 95th and Princeton after a mass shooting around 11 Friday night in the city's Princeton Park neighborhood. At least 13 people were injured.
244 West 95th Street. I need crowd control.
Chicago police say a red SUV pulled up to a large crowd. Investigators say two suspects began shooting from inside the car before taking off.
There's approximately 25 shell casings, both rifle and pistol rounds, from 243 West 95th all the way to the end of the block on Princeton.
The victims' ages range from 17 to 47 years old and were taken to different hospitals. A 26-year-old man was last listed in critical condition. The majority of the victims are expected to recover from their injuries.
All of a sudden, you hear this loud buh-buh-buh-buh-buh-buh-buh-buh. I can hear the rapid-fire gunfire. And I said, oh, no, can't be. And next thing I know, you hear the sirens.
Michael Blount was home at the time of the shooting. He says he's disappointed it happened at a time when people were looking to celebrate the holiday.
It was a shame that it happened on Juneteenth. That's what it's supposed to be about, celebration, not what just happened. You know, that was just purely wrong.
A motive for the shooting is unclear. Police have not made any arrests. Alderman Anthony Beal, who represents the 9th Ward, saying in part, "In a matter of seconds, an ordinary summer night was shattered by gunfire. No one should have to wonder if they or someone they love will make it home safely."
30-plus shot in Chicago in 2 days, 70-plus in 1 week. Bunch of people dead. And the media will just focus in on one of the shootings. And the mayor says, 40 people shot, 8 killed in Chicago over this Father's Day weekend. I'm sorry, now it's up to 40, sorry. And the mayor, it's usually worse than I said. They were saying 34, 32, now it's 40, sorry. It's 12 dead in a week, 70-plus shot. I guess that number's up to higher now. It was 32 went to 40, and then I guess, who knows how many. It was 70-something a day ago. And you know it was almost all black people shooting black people, right? But you can't seem to get most of these liberal black people or white people upset about that. I'm upset about it. I don't want anybody getting shot. I don't want some white dude with 70 arrests running around. In fact, you ought to be executed by that point. My God. I guess this is L.A. This happens all over the country. Oakland, you name it. Texas. Hey, what gang are you in? I'm not in a gang, man. I just want to live my life. Shoot the house up. Reportedly shot one of the people. Here's a clip of that. All right, my daughter Charlotte. Rex has his own show, and it's popular. He's doing well, but he fills in some. He doesn't work here. But Charlotte Jones, my oldest daughter, 22, she does work here in production, does a great job. I told you I was at Cabela's last night. I bought her one of these. They made switchblades legal now. It's a little, you know, high-tech design of one. So I bought her a switchblade. I bought her stilettos, too, since they made them legal and other things she carries in her purse. But I was trying to explain to her, and I'm not trained in knife fighting. I don't say this is a professional way to do it. but I've studied history, and I've taken knives away from people a few times in Dallas, and I've also seen what works. And so if you're going to go get trained on how to use a knife for self-defense, I'm not telling you this is a self-defense thing. She wants to air it. She thinks it's cute. I did not plan to air this. Of course, it's shot in the wrong aspect ratio. You lose half your pixels doing this, folks, but everybody loves it. So I guess we'll play this. I did not know if this is going to air, but we'll come back and play that. Because in my experience, you know, these military or jiu-jitsu type or police trainer or Krav Maga trainers have this thing where the guy lunges with the knife and you do this move and grab the arm and, you know, and how you deflect the knife and all this other stuff. When in my experience and watching different training things and just seeing how people operate, with a knife, if somebody's coming at you, the key is having the right grip on the knife. And generally, you'd want to have a bigger one, too. I like a double-edged dagger. But if you're going to go with a little switchblade, the key is it's got to be razor sharp. And the key is a tight grip and speed slashing. So when they try to get in, you just slash at them. It's so fast, you're going to cut off fingers. You're going to slice people open. And you could do this with like a wooden dowel if you want to just buy one at the hardware store and go out in the woods like with tall grasses and stuff and just watch with that. You can even come up to like pretty good size twigs on and just green ones, cut off trees with it. It's the same thing with a knife. Everything is speed. There are billions of ways for people to be culturally, spiritually, politically, environmentally engaged. And there are millions and millions of different programs and podcasts and radio shows and things around the world out of the 10 billion people on this planet. But on the record, what we've done at InfoWars, and this is just the second leg of that at alexjoneslive.com, has changed the world. Our guests, our callers, our researchers, our reporters, and my overall futuristic analysis and view of the destiny of humanity, which I don't claim to be 100% accurate, but it's definitely proven to be a good template to observe the world, has had a giant effect, and the globalists do not like it. So when you share that local AM and FM station that you listen to and tell those you share it with to share it, it changes the world. When you say this is a forbidden information at alexjoneslive.com that has the free audio and video feeds and archives and shows and articles, you are literally going in the face of the censors and the tyrants. You're changing the world. It seems simple. It seems little, but it's not, because we have millions of listeners and viewers. And if we can leverage that out to millions more and have them leverage it out, that creates the chain reaction. And all the great guests and hosts we've had on over the years who were already great, successful, they'll tell you how much more their shows blew up once they were on air here with this operation. We are here to get the next generation, black, white, old, young, to awaken to the epic time that we're all alive in right now and to take action. So your word of mouth is key, your prayer for the broadcast is key, and supporting us financially is so key. And we make it symbiotic, where everything you get at thealexjonesstore.com will empower you, will enrich you, and will be an adventure. The Patriot Apparel, some of the best designs ever, limited edition for the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, are out right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, and this latest design, these limited edition, America, red, white, and blue on, you know, Sterling Royal Blue, 76, America 76, 250 years. That is a really cool shirt. I think it's going to be a bestseller. It just came out today. And all the other 250th anniversary limited edition shirts are available right now as well at thealexjonesstore.com. So be sure and check those out. And I thank you for your support. But wearing these out in public, meeting like-minded people, spreading the word, it's an adventure in and of itself, and it funds this operation, which is exposing the next pandemic, the next attempted lockdowns, the next big globalist war. You are financing your own future for a better future and better destiny when you keep this broadcast on the air. But you can also experience the InfoWar on the ground wearing these great shirts. Also, we have the new dual carbon platinum gravity fed filter, the highest quality gravity fed carbon filters that are the highest rated, cutting out all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horrible forever chemicals that are out there. And it has the highest quality stainless steel. Nobody has got a filter with better filtration. It's the highest rated, and nobody has as beautiful a filter as this, and ours is way under the price of competitors that are crap. This is the best. It's a home run by Bigley, our sponsor. We're so proud of it. Here's the issue. 1,000 of these came in. It sold out in 3 days. They got a couple thousand more coming in, like, late next week. Those are pre-order right now. They're going to be sold out soon, and then I'm going to stop promoting it until they get even more in because I don't like doing pre-order. But if you want to be at the head of the line to get these while you still can and not have to wait a month or so after that, get your order in now, right now, at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're on the site, check out all the other great Patriot apparel, the super high-quality military-grade belts, all the great supplements and more at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
The key is don't think yourself that strong.
All right, let's stop this for a minute because I want to preface this again. Start it over in a minute. I don't claim to be some weapons expert. I don't claim to be a fighting expert. I'm not out there trained in any of this. When it comes to guns, I can sit there with a Staccato 9mm at 100 yards and pump 17 rounds into a 4-inch metal target. I can shoot in a 5-inch pattern with a 300 Win Mag at 1,000 yards. I'm not good at windage and Coriolis, but I know what I'm doing. So, I mean, I just am personally have my own systems and my own things I do. But I have sat there and watched military training in different cultures and different things, and I've seen actual footage of people coming at folks with guns or with knives or with their bare hands. And my advice to my daughters and anybody else is carry a firearm legally and lawfully and know how to use it, which my daughter does and knows how to use. Okay, pack it a 9mm with 17 rounds. That'll take care of whatever you need. But I have given her, when they legalized it like 5-6 years ago, a stiletto that law enforcement uses, double-edged dagger stiletto. You know, the handle's about that long, and it's double-edged. That's what you go with. This smaller one I gave her is just a little backup that's a switchblade, and it's instant access. And, again, the key is deploy it and then get the strongest grip you can of it. The blade out this way, or just, if you're actually going after somebody, it's this way. But that's if you're trying to just kill somebody, that's not offensive. In my experience, you watch all these military trainers and stuff, they go into, like, the person lunges at you this way with a knife, or the person jumps and tries to get your weapon away from you, and this is what you do, and these are these moves. And unless you train in that and have the moves and know all the different moves they might make, and most of these people aren't even trained that are coming at you, so it'll be unorthodox. In my experience, you go back to sword fighting, and I've done a little bit of fencing, or any of that, is that you don't want the person getting in close to you. And so the best thing to do is run. But if you're cornered, then the answer is, and someone's coming at you, then you simply slash. And the key to a knife is if you're not stabbing someone, and that's about explosive force, getting it in over and over again, is that if you simply reach out, because if you're going fast, they're not going to be able to get in close and get your arm or push it out of the way. If you're simply slashing when the people are trying to reach at you, believe me, it's not even like a gun. You can shoot some people and they just kind of ignored it first. Not with knives, folks. You go fast with a sharp knife like this, you're going to cut people's fingers off. You're going to slice through their arms. They're not going to be happy campers. And then you don't sit around and wait. That person gets through, is trying to get on you, you're extending out here trying to do all this. No. If they get through, you're right here, in. And because I just instinctively, and I'm sure people can give me their training, their ideas. This is my stuff's all instinctive and watching things. So this is impromptu. She's like, oh, I know how to use the guns, Daddy. Let's go shooting again this weekend. She's been shooting since she was 5. But I don't really know about the knives. We never did that. So this was like a little quick thing this morning when I came back from the gym. She had dropped by the house. And I was in a hurry to get out. So this is not very professional. I'm not advising anybody, but here's the footage.
Your grip, okay? Remember, the key is don't think of yourself as that strong. All you're doing is this. A person's coming at you. You don't play around. Once they get in the zone, you start slashing. Understand? Now, if the person gets in through that, even if you cut them up, then you just start stabbing into the stomach. That's the soft part. No, I'm serious.
I know, Daddy.
So you'll talk to you, just stab, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Then they'll probably push back. If they come at you again, all right, they got their hands up.
Yes, sir.
You just attack. You don't worry about the field of attack, okay?
Yes, sir.
Then again, they come back in again. What do?
Stab.
Thrust into the abdomen.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then if they're still coming at you and they're up under you, you go ahead and start stabbing them in the neck.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
And you don't hesitate.
No, never.
Because the key is speed. The grip is what matters. So this is about your hand.
Yes, sir.
And it's good, this is not a joke, to have the intention, say, die, die, or kill, kill. I'm serious.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, so there you go. That's my lay thing, but I'm sure you should go out and get trained by whoever. I'm just going to show you all these moves, and they do this, you do that. And all that stuff goes out the window, and the real thing does. The big thing is just release your adrenaline and kill. Somebody's attacking you, chop the living hell out of them. And let me tell you something. There ain't hardly anybody, no matter how fast they are. You start slashing, and they're going to start bleeding. It's that simple. The key is speed with the blade slashing. Okay? That's the key. All right. I'm sure people are going to have fun with that clip. Because I can't wait to hear all their advice on that. I'll listen to it. I don't claim to, you know, nothing around here. But I've taken knives away from people, I've taken guns away from people, and I've stomped people's brains out. So it's not like I'm just talking about this stuff, telling you stuff. I just got it out of my instincts. So that's how that works. That's what my brain tells me to do. But moving on from that, I want to play this clip of Richard Nixon on Israel, and I want to then dovetail it with this documentary. It's only 14 minutes long, titled The Eight-Front War by Harrison Smith, who's coming in. In about, well, exactly 20 minutes from now for the War Room today, 3 to 6 p.m. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. Please share the link, alexjoneslive.com, where you'll see on the network feed, find Harrison Smith. Always has the latest information, great guest, commentary, and more. So look for that. But Nixon got called anti-Semitic for pointing out there was a Jewish lobby that would try to get him to do what they wanted. He wasn't against them. He just pointed out it's a lobby, and you don't get to run the country. If it aligns with our interests, we'll help you. And, of course, now that's all out in the open. So now that it's out in the open and people don't want a war, Israel's very, very unpopular. And that's the reality here. But just remember, we can't do this without your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. All the products are great. They really work because I want them to work the very best, so you want to get them again. Huge sale. Buy one, get one free. Ultramethylene Blue right now at thealexjonesstore.com. The water filters are coming back in. It's pre-sale. They're going to sell out before they even get back in next week. If you want to get this best filters out there at the lowest price, beautiful stainless steel, you name it, get it now, thealexjonesstore.com, T3 iodine at 50% off, and so much more. The start of the kickoff of the summer super sale, all the limited edition Patriot apparel, a bunch of it's limited edition for July 4th, 250th anniversary, and only until Wednesday at midnight is the T3 50% off and buy one, get one free ultramethylene blue. You're like, well, it's a two-week sale. Every 3 days, there's a new buy one, get one free and another 50% off sale. So the T3 is incredible. The ultramethylene blue is incredible. This is your chance to get it. Here is Richard Nixon on the Israel lobby and then The Eight-Front War by Harrison Smith. You'll want to watch this.
It isn't a question of whether I felt it. The fact is that American Jews support Israel, and I understood that. And the fact is that every Jewish prime minister that I have known has enlisted American Jews to bring as much pressure as possible in the political process on American presidents. That's understandable. I don't object to it. Now, a president must not go along with it on occasion, because some... Let me explain something about what is called the Jewish lobby in this country. In the first place, Jews, understandably, in the United States, because of what happened in World War II, because of the Holocaust, are going to put first priority on the survival of Israel. Now, as good Americans as they are, they believe that America's survival and security is directly related to Israel's. In other words, their belief is that being for Israel first means that that does not mean you're putting America second, because they think it goes together. An American president, however, has to approach it in a different way, in my opinion. He's got always to think first of what is best for America. And that's true whether it has to do with the Israelis or whether it has to do with the Irish or the Germans or what have you or the Poles, etc. Usually what is best for America is also best for Israel and vice versa. But on occasions, for example, an American president must make a decision that does not, in effect, give the Israelis a blank check. And one example of that is a decision that I made. I decided early on in our administration that we were going to seek good relations with Egypt and others of Israel's neighbors. Many of my Israeli friends didn't like that because they wanted a special relationship with Israel and Israel only. But I have always said that Israel's interests are better served to have the United States a friend of Israel's neighbors and potential enemies than to leave a vacuum which the Soviet Union would fill. I still believe that, and I think that should be American policy today.
I think there's another revolution coming. I tend to steer it along with the achievement of a broader peace. When history is within reach.
So what Israel is fighting here is not merely a seven-front war, but an eight-front war.
For the Jews against Rome.
Rome and Jerusalem clashed over values with a great tragedy for the Jewish people.
Well, we lost that one.
We have to win the next one. But the new Rome, the United States.
Jews against Rome.
We stopped playing defense and have moved to offense.
The weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well.
But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle.
Well, we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are on social media.
Because the next war will be decided based on how Israel and its allies perform online as much as offline.
This is the Eighth Front, the disinformation campaign.
It is actually this Eighth Front where our enemies believe they can actually defeat the Jewish state.
This is the kind of ingenuity and inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the State of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. I know we can do it.
A lot of this is done with money.
Invested billions and billions of dollars in the information battlefield.
Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster.
We prohibit harmful stereotypes about Jewish people, such as claims that Jews control financial, political, or media institutions.
You're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them.
We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency.
Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters.
Podcasts, short form video, Wikipedia, LLM.
American haters, Churchill haters.
We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
You think your stupid little podcast is going to change the world like hell it is?
Social media, this is the new battlefield.
You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged Nazi.
We do not allow Holocaust denial and distortion.
And the most important purchase that is going on right now is
TikTok,
number one.
For every 30 minutes that someone watches TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic.
So you have TikTok just smashing our young people's brains all day long with video of carnage in Gaza.
We really have a TikTok problem.
Because anything that we try to say to them, they are hearing it through this wall of carnage, and I sound obscene.
Anti-Zionism. It's just Jew hatred.
We made a change.
We updated our policies
to designate the use of the term Zionist.
To recognize that the term Zionist
as a proxy for a protected attribute
can be used as a proxy for Jews and Israelis
as hate speech.
Why can't Israel be doing some sort of, you know, counterintelligence?
Right now, the ADL is co-writing Sunday school curriculum.
Information warfare like this.
It's building the technology to train the LLMs more effectively.
Like a psychological operations in America.
As part of a robust framework to combat anti-Semitism, we have industry-leading policies designed with the safety of the Jewish community in mind.
You're right. We control the media. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to bitch on Twitter? Like, okay. Meanwhile, we're going to control more of the media.
And working with OpenAI, with Alphabet, with Anthropic, with Meta, with Microsoft, we are working with them now to train the LLMs.
We also have, I think, over 24 Jewish organizations that are constantly feeding us intelligence and information.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full-time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists.
Monitoring campuses, digital networks, activist groups, and public officials.
We have several PhDs on staff. We have a network of academics and scholars we work with around the country.
I've talked to the leaders of AI in the world, and you ask yourself, there's so many blessings in this, but there could be a curse.
First thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model.
We need to invest in intelligence to understand who are the anti-Semites, who's funding them, what's their plan, who are the leaders. And then once we have that, we can define who is an enemy we can attack.
You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
Once we have all this information, we need to empower and mobilize an ecosystem of many organizations that we can incentivize them to work together, to share, and to fight against our common enemies.
Mobilizing millions of people, of allies, that are quietly by our side.
Citizens will be on their best behavior, because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
You know, anti-Semites, most of these people running around, we're not going to win their hearts and minds because they don't have hearts and they don't have minds. So, you know, how are we going to, there's no reason to think we're ever going to convince them, but we can deport them, we can put them in jail, we can make their lives miserable, we can cut off their funding.
You've got all these conspiracy theorists online going on and on and on about how, you know, if you try and say anything, if you try and do anything against Jews, they're going to come after you.
We have featured more than 1,000 anti-Semites.
And they're going to destroy you and take away your business, and therefore you have to be really, really scared.
These Jew haters have faced real consequences, including firings, suspensions, and expulsions.
And it's kind of starting to come true.
We will shine a light on you that will follow you for the rest of your life. When you look for a job, when you look for a spouse, when you look for a nanny, when you look for anything.
And I love that. I love it.
We remove hate speech against Zionists when these harmful stereotypes about Jews are invoked.
In the past 12 months, ADL's filed more lawsuits than in the prior 112 years.
Over the weekend, I received concerning news that I was being sued for $5 million.
Vicious, communist, racist, Jew-hating, Israel-bashing monster.
Defendant frequently posts anti-Israel rhetoric accusing Israel of controlling the United States and its politicians.
We at the ZOA will fight these dangerous and monstrous lies with all of our hearts and souls. No appeasement, no conciliation, only a war against this racist hatred of the Jewish people.
When there is a war, it doesn't matter who your enemy is, you need to destroy their offspring to prevent them from creating more offspring.
What you're trying to do is you want to corral your victim, but in fact, your countries are the victim. So you dehumanize a group of people in human society, and you prepare them for the kill, for the butchery.
A government can do in 2 months more than any organization can do in its lifetime.
The J7 is comprised of the 7 largest diaspora communities. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices.
And we're running everything all the time, from focus groups to attitudinal surveys to like randomized controlled trials to identify what interventions work most effectively.
Finally, we have meetings that are some off the record, some on the record, with world leaders, in which we share our community's concerns and call for action.
The entire education system in this country, from K through 12 in colleges,
must be reformed.
But it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it.
The way we solve anti-Semitism is pretty goddamn simple.
Take control over what they are saying.
Send their ass to jail. It's not complicated.
And quickly, before it's too late.
We're monitoring political Islamists and Christian nationalists, all of them. And then we train. We're the largest trainer of law enforcement in America, extremism hate. We train 20,000 officers every year.
Try that again.
We deeply value our partnership with law enforcement. We've been working with them literally since the FBI was founded in the 1930s.
Is that your account?
That guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians, that can probably incite somebody to do something radical. That's all we're here to talk about, to refrain from posting things like that.
We are going to have a whole division within the office of the Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism that is going to work on technology.
We must take all of our technological expertise and all of our available resources to develop methods to launch and win a significant counter-information campaign.
The products of our technical capacities and sometimes technical and intelligence genius, and we're happy to do it.
The office is going to be revamped entirely to be one of the highest profile offices in the State Department.
Because it's not working. Too many young people have never heard of the Holocaust.
The only solution right now is for the governments to decide that all the Jews are a protected minority. That means that the governments will be obliged to provide the security.
Upgrades to security. Jewish community shouldn't have to be paying for it. But we have to pay for our own armed guards? Are you serious?
To fund institutions, culture, and that everybody in Europe will learn about the Jewish contribution and why they should cherish Jewish presence.
All your synagogues, all your shuls, all paid for. Everything. Everything that you need is paid for. I, for one, as a Jewish leader, will no longer talk about anti-Semitism in isolation from Israel. What we want immediately, if you ask any Jew, what do you want? What do you want? No more protests. No more protests.
I'm not an anti-Semite. I just don't like the government of Bibi Netanyahu. No, you're a Jew hater.
Would a group be banned if it accuses Israel of genocide or apartheid?
If those criteria are satisfied, then that is the case.
Any candidate running for a seat in this building, whether for Congress or Senate, we will target them as they target us. Accordingly, we will start a fund to help their opponents.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel, so we become another capital finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade as a second capital of finance. It's going to be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world.
So we heard earlier about a goal to bring a million immigrants to Israel.
History has proven that when a country starts with allowing anti-Semitism, the results are not kind to that country.
I want to make a warning to somebody else, and that's American Gentiles. The minute your country is taken over by anti-Semitism, the minute you start to be a country that's not blessing Israel but cursing Israel, you have begun the process of shrinking and away from your empire.
And you can decide. You can stay here in New York in a declining empire, or you can come to Israel, which is part of the rising middle of the world, which is moving south and east. That's what I encourage you to do.
Our faith in the American project itself has been shaken. The only serious answer to this challenge is to believe again that being Jewish is the most important thing in the world.
When we're kicked out of America and America, you know, the whole thing is done, the whole American Jewish project is done, we're gonna be fine.
For decades, American society allowed Jews to live normal lives. This was a pleasant holiday from our destiny. The holiday is over.
The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people are not normal. We never really were.
And now that Israel has turned the entire geopolitical situation on its head, our job in the diaspora is to leverage those wins and win here. Do to our enemies here what Israel did to its enemies there.
And to the world, I say this: history will not remember
those who merely denounced hatred in polite language. History will remember those who acted.
This is a small bunch of wannabe Nazis. That's what they are.
Anti-Semitism is pure evil.
If we have to hunt you down the way they hunted down Nazis for decades, we will find your identities. We will find you. We will achieve justice.
I think we're at the cusp of a new age, because I think that we will achieve the expansion of peace. I think that we are in a new age because I think that the possibilities of technology, with their risks, especially in AI, but with their positive benefits, are enormous in every field. I mean, from agriculture to health to transportation to... And I think that we...
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is what we're, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.